ജയ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംകി മായപ്പൂർ ധാംകി മധുരപുരി ധാംകി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംകി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംകി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോപ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശിശി ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവൈ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭിഃ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ ഇശോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപികാവീ നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേ ശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുത സ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗമദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദൈവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ശ്രീ പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഉവാച ബ്രഹ്മാദയ സുരഗണാമുനയോധ സിദ്ധാഃ സത്വൈകദാനമതയോ വചസാം പ്രവാഹേ നാരാധിതം പുരുഗുണൈരധുനാപി വിപ്രു കിം തോഷ്ടുമർഹതി സമേ ഹരിരുഗ്രജാദേ മന്യേധനാബിജനരൂപതപശ്രുതൌ ച തേജപ്രഭാവബല പൗരുഷബുദ്ധിയോഗ നാരാധനായി ഭവന്തി പരസ്യ പുംസോ ഭക്ത്യാ തു തോഷ ഭഗവാൻ ഗജയൂഥവായ വിപ്രാദ്യുഷൽഗുണയുദാദരവിന്ദനാഭ പാദാരവിന്ദ വിമുഖാച്ഛുഭജം വരിഷ്ഠം മന്യേതദർപ്പിതമനോവചനേഹിതാർത്ഥപ്രാണം പുനാദി സകുലം നദു ഭൂരിമാന നൈവാൽപ്പന പ്രഭുരയം നിജലാഭപൂർണോ മാനം ജനാദ വിദുഷക്കരുണോ വൃണീതേ യദ്യജ്ജനോ ഭഗവതേ വിദധീധമാനം തച്ഛാൽപ്പനേ പ്രതിമുഖസ്യ യഥാ മുഖശ്രീ തസ്മാദഹം വിഗത വിക്ലമമീശ്വരസ്യ സർവാത്മനാമഹി ഗൃണാമി യഥാ മനീഷം നീചോജയ ഗുണവിസർഗമനുപ്രവിഷ്ട പൂയേതയേന ഹി പുമാൻ അനുവർണിതേന సర్వేహ్యమీ విధిగరా తమసత్వధాన్యో బ్రహ్మాదయో వయమివేషన చోద్విజంద క్షేమాయ భూతయ ఉదాల్మ సుఖాయ జాస్య విక్రీడితం భగవతో రుచిరావతారై తద్యచ్చమన్యమసురశ్చ హతస్త్వయాద్య మోదేద సాధు అపి వృశ్చిక సర్పహత్య లోకాశ్చ నిర్వృతిమిదా ప్రదయంతి సర్వే రూపం నృసింహం విభయాయ జనా స్మరంది నాహం బిభేమ చిదతేది భయానకాస్య జిహ్వార్కనేత్ర ప్రకుటీ రసభోగ్ర దంష్ట్రాల్ ఆంధ్రస్రజ క్షతజగేసర శంఖకర్ణ నిర్హ్రాద భీజ దిగిభ అరిభిన్న ఖాగ్రాల్ త్రస్తోస్మ్యహం కృపణవల్సలదు సహోగ్ర సంసార చక్ర కదనాగ్రసదాం ప్రణీత బద్ధస్వ కర్మభి ఉషత్తమదే క్రిమూలం ప్రీతోపవర్గ శరణం హయసే కదాను యస్మాల్ ప్రియాల్ ప్రియ వియోగ సయోగ జన్మ శోకాగ్నినా సకలయోనిషు దహ్యమాన దుఃఖౌషధం దదపి దుఃఖమదద్ధియాహం భూమన్ భ్రమామి వదమేతవదాస్య యోగం సోహం ప్రియస్య సుకృత పరదేవదాయ లీలాకథాస్తవ నృసింహ విరించ గీతాః అంజస్తి ధర్మని కృణన్ గుణ విప్రముక్తో దుర్గాణిదే పదయుగాళయ హంస సంగాః బాలస్య నేహ శరణం పితరో నృసింహ నార్తస్య జాగతముదన్వతి మజ్జదో నౌ తప్తస్య దల్ ప్రతివిధిర్యైహాంజ్యజేష్ట తావల్ విభో తనుప్రదాం తదుపేక్షితానాం యస్మిన్ యదోయర్హి యేన జయసే యస్మాల్ యస్మై యథా ఇదో యస్త్వ పరపరో వా భావకరోతి వికరోతి పృథక్ స్వభావం సంచోదితస్తదఖిలం భవత స్వరూపం మాయా మనస్రజతి కర్మమయం బలీయ కాలేన చోదిత గుణానుమదేన పుంస ఛందోమయం యదజయార్పిత షోడశారం సంసార చక్రమజ కోదితరేల్ త్వదన్య సత్వం హి నిత్య విజితాత్మగుణస్వధాన్న కాలో వశీకృత విసృజ్య విసర్గశక్తి చక్రే విసృష్టమజయేశ్వర షోడశారే నిష్పిఢ్యమానముపకర్ష విభో ప్రపన్నం దృష్టామయాది విభో కిల దృష్ట్యమానం ఆయుశ్రియో విభోమిచ్చతి యాన్ జనోయం యస్మల్పిదు కుపితహాసు విజృంభిత ప్రూ విస్ఫూర్జితేన లులిత సదుతే నిరస్త తస్మాదమస్తనుభృతామహమాశిషోచ్య ఆయుశ్రియం విభవం ఐంద్రియమా విరించాల్ నేచ్ఛామి దేవి లులితా నిర్విక్రమేణ కాలాత్మనోపనయమాం నిజ భృత్యపార్శ్వం కుత్రాశిషశ్రుతి సుఖా మృగతృష్ణి రూప క్వేదం కళేబరమశేషరుచాం విరోహ నిర్విద్యతే నదియజో యదవీది విద్వాన్ కామానలం మధులవై శమయన్ దురాపై. Prahlada Stuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are discussing now, Prahlada is saying to Krishna, Bhava Karodi Vigarodi Pratak Subhavam. He mentioned there in the 20th verse that Bhavam is important. What the Bhavam is? Bhavam means the mood in which you say the prayers, or how heartfelt it is. That's that bhav means. Bhav means how heartfelt it is. So bhakti sadhana is nothing but talking to Krishna. Now talking to Krishna means talking to the Antaryami inside. And it is a sadhana in spiritual life. Whatever thoughts and feelings we have, those feelings and thoughts expressing it to the Antaryami inside. This is a sadhana. This is a sadhana. Expressing one's own thoughts and feelings to the Antaryami inside is a sadhana. Is a sadhana. That is how the conversation begins with Krishna. It is not always like a blank wall. We keep on talking to the brick wall. No. There is a relationship with Krishna. The devotee keeps talking all his difficulties and problems to the Antaryami inside. And as much as we experience the miseries of material life, the talking will increase. As soon as there is happiness in life, there won't be any talking. But only when difficulties comes in life, we keep talking to Krishna. What is interesting in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that we have seen in the 7th canto, Prahlada talking to Narasimham. Is it not? Prahlada talking in Narasimham, what's what you are looking at now? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you also saw the discussion between Mahabali and Vamana, Lord Vamana. Mahabali and Lord Vamana. Later on, you will see there that when Mahabali and Vamana Murti was talking to each other, Prahlada comes in there, in the middle of that. Prahlada, grandfather. Mahabali is the grandson. So grandfather and the grandson talking to Vamana Murti together. At that time you will see a lot of these things coming out from Prahlada and also from Mahabali while talking to Vamana Murti. So here, Prahlada is saying here that normally we have, even if lot of thoughts we keep to ourselves, we don't express it to others. We keep to ourselves, isn't it? But you should not have that reservation with the Antaryami. Antaryami, we should be able to talk everything. Because before you are talking to him, he knows what goes on inside us. So, therefore, and if we keep on talking, it will purify us. It will purify us. That is the benefit from that. What does sadhana mean? Sadhana means that whatever darkness that is inside us, which is ajnanam or avidya or ignorance in us, that should go and the light should come inside. Light should come inside. So, that means wherever there is darkness, the light should come inside. What does that mean? Expose everything, all the darkness inside us to Krishna. If you expose everything inside us to the Antaryami inside, Antaryami's light will open up everything. So, what has happened to us all is that in the external world, where there is so many names and forms, Namarubam, isn't it? And the mind has taken the photographs of all these different people, different objects, everything, and it is stored inside. It is stored inside. And with the result is that we get more and more involved in the material existence. That is the benefit from that. The only benefit we have is that we have observed so many names and forms in this world. Our mind has taken a photograph of everybody here in this world and put it inside. And then with that photograph, name and form, what is inside, that it develops into a series of films inside of that person. Is it not? Some people, we have formed different opinions inside, which we are keeping it inside about others, isn't it? All of us do. And that is the film that is running, the vasana that has been created by being exposed to the namarupam. Namam rupam, that name and form outside, has created vasanas inside. And that vasana is the role of the film that's inside us, role of the film inside us. So, and tomorrow all this film will start running inside us, in like a camera. And when it fructifies, and it is going to come in front of us. When that vasanas that fructifies, all these names and forms will start appearing in front of us. But this photo of the person outside, that is not a problem. But the problem is, when that photo creates another film inside in the form of vasana, that causes the problem. That causes the problem. Vasana film means three-dimensional. It becomes three-dimensional. So, that is a big secret, that how that works inside. How Namarupam creates vasanas inside, and it continuously forms a roll of film inside, isn't it? So, so later on, this vasana film that is inside, will come outside in the form of some person, and that is a big magic show. That what happens there. That means if any vasana that is staying inside in the form of a seed, that means if it remains there, it's okay. But seed cannot remain. Seed has to sprout one day. It has to sprout one day. And when it comes out, it will bring, what will happen is, That will bring that film inside when it spouts. And just like films, when you have, in the olden days, it's when you expose it to the sunlight, they say, that the film will go. Whatever you have taken the photos, if you expose to sunlight, it will go. So that is how it was. So similarly, this vasanas that has been created inside us by the namarupams, all that vasana, if you expose it to andaryami, that vasana will go from inside. The vasana will, that is the reason why we say that one should talk to the andaryami, for this reason only. Because namarupam outside, that creates vasana and becomes a roll of film inside, and that is avidya inside. In order that vasana to go, we have to expose that vasana in front of the sunlight, which is the andaryami inside. Which is the andaryami inside. That means this vasana, before it comes out in some form, we got it burned inside within ourselves. Similarly, andaryami, who is our very soul, our actual identity, there is no need to keep anything covered from him. Everything can be exposed to him. There is no necessity to keep anything hiding from him. Whatever distress we have, problems we have, and all these times, the only conversation with the andaryami is to give us that bhakti, to give the bhakti. So, because only when the distress comes, if we speak to Krishna, the andaryami inside, only then bhakti will develop in the heart. Bhakti will develop in the heart. Otherwise, if I keep on chanting all the songs in the books and all the glorifications, everything, then like in the Sahasranamam and all, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vashalkaro, Buddha, Bhavya, Bhaval, Prabhu, it will remain in like that, because it's just like if you keep studying all the verses, and eventually it will like an express train, it will go fast, one after the other. But if we continue in that way, without this conversation with andaryami, what will happen is, one day Krishna will come and say to us, "Thank you," he said, because he gets bored with our chanting. Simply chanting through the lips, without any feelings behind that. Because there is no bhavam there. That is what Prahlada is saying there. Bhavakaroti vikaroti prataksa bhavam. Sanjo, in the 20th verse. Bhavam is so important. If there is no bhavam, then there is that devotional service also is just a mechanical thing. Just a mechanical thing. That is why saying bhavak, that creating that bhavam inside, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So importance of bhakti. Because no relationship has been developed. We are doing in mechanically everything. Everything we are doing in a mechanical way. We are studying Bhagavatam in a mechanical way. We are chanting the holy name in a mechanical way. We are doing everything what has been told as a work. Simply as a work. There is no bhavam behind it. That is what Prahlada is saying. Without that, and how does that bhavam develop? Bhavam develop by talking to andaryami. By talking to andaryami. All our feelings, thoughts, expressions, everything should be spoken to andaryami. And that is the only way this namarupam, its vasana that it has created, will get burned inside, it will go away, and the conversation will become serious with andaryami. All the devotees have spoken with the andaryami. That is their life. If you look into any great personality, Tyagaraja, Namadev, Tukaram, all devotees, you can see, they talk to the andaryami inside. That is why Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. You remember, Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanadhana, Manashashtan Indriyani, Pravadistani Krashati. That means, Krishna is saying, Jiva is a part of me. Jiva is a part of me. That means, if you look at it from a relative plane, it is Amsham. Mamayo Amsham. Krishna is saying, Mamayo Amsham. Amshamshi Bhavam. Amsham Amshi. Amshi Bhavam. That means,
It is eternally connected. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bodha sanatana. Sanatana means eternally we are connected with Krishna. At no point in time you can be separated from Krishna. Jiva bodha sanatana. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bodha sanatana. It is sanatana, that relationship is sanatana. Sanatana means eternal. But what is happening is, what do we say? We say that I have relationship with my father, I have a connection with my mother, or I have connections with my children, or I have a connection with my wife, and all these connections we talk about, actually which doesn't exist. In reality there is no connection. It's only that the society says you are connected to each other, therefore we become connected. Otherwise where is the connection? Actual connection is with Krishna, not with anybody else in this world. This is the illusion that Maya has put us inside us. We got married, got sacrificed, and from today onwards you are husband and wife. Next day onwards we are saying we are husband and wife. But who has proven that? Society is saying that. But actual connection for us is with only with Krishna, nobody else. But the connection which does not exist, we are making it firm and forcefully, saying that this connection exists. Husband and wife, parents and children, and in all other relationships in this world, they have no reality, because it's all based on the body. Whereas the actual connection is only this connection, what Krishna is saying here. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bodha sanadana. There is only one connection we have, and Krishna says that connection is eternal, and that is this mamai vamsho jiva loke. That is the actual connection what we have. So, but what happens is, because we are talking about all these connections which doesn't exist, we forget that connection which actually exists. All the time we are talking about that connection which doesn't exist. In that process what happens is, we forget the real connection what we have got with Krishna. And we'll forget that. So, this connection with Krishna is Nitya Sambandham. That Nitya Sambandham, that is our real connection. What Krishna is saying to us, that Mamayvamsho Jiva Loge Jiva Bodha Sanadana Mana Shashtan Indriyani Praristhani Karshadi. He said, so, because of the forgotten this relationship with Antaryami, therefore what's happening is that we start thinking that all other relationships are real in this world. What we have got with the people outside in this world, we start taking it very, very seriously. This is the effect of this. Because we start thinking that all connections in this world is real. And we are completely forgotten that this connection with Krishna. So, so when this happens, in order to make this relationship with Krishna little stronger, because it's gone so weak, we've completely forgotten that connection with Antaryami inside. It is at that time that Krishna gives us some distress in life. When you forget this relationship with Antaryami, and when you start thinking your connection with the world outside, with all other people in this world, in the bodily level, when that bodily level connections become stronger, and we forget our connection with Antaryami inside, in order to revive this connection, Krishna sends us some distress, gives us some distress. And so therefore, we say that every distress that comes to us is a love letter Krishna is sending to us. It is addressed in that way. It's like a love letter that is coming to us. And only thing is, if you look into when the distress comes, if you look into that carefully, you will see Krishna's signature at the bottom in that love letter. You will see Krishna's signature at the bottom of that love letter. That means you have to start seeing things in a different way. So, when you look at that, when you start looking at that carefully, you will see, and you will start thinking, why did this happen to me? People analyze it like that, isn't it? When distress comes, first thing what do you do?
You start thinking, why did this happen? Why this situation happened? You start thinking like that, isn't it? Because Krishna is saying, you've forgotten about me. You've forgotten about me. That is when we turn back to Antaryami again. So you can see, distress is not a bad thing. In many occasions, that is what he is saying here also. He says, in the trastosmyaham, Prahlada says to Narasimham, 16th verse, trastosmyaham krupana valsala dussahogra samsara chakra katanal grasadam pranitaha baddha sokarma bhi ushatama te angrimulam pritobavarga sharanam hoyase kadanu. That hoyase kadanu means that he said, hoyase kadanu, why you are not calling me? Prahlada is saying to Narasimha, why you are not calling me? When will you take me away from here? And when will that happen? What? That eternal relationship between you and me. When will that become a reality? Prahlada is saying there, I need that experience permanently. That is Prahlada's prayers. So you can see that where the difference is between Prahlada's state and our state. Our state is that we have completely forgotten that there is a connection with Krishna. We have completely forgotten that. And we have falsely created all connections in this world and we are living in those connections. Completely ignoring this relationship with Antaryami inside. So therefore Prahlada is saying that Hoyase Kadanu, when will you call me and give me that connection back again, or experience or permanent relationship what I have got with you, which Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Ivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bodha Sanatana. Jiva Bodha Sanatana. Sanatanam it is. Sanatana means that a relationship that will never break. A relationship that will never break. All relationship in this world will break one day. Isn't it? Your own life, if you take for example, you see for yourself, childhood you had friends and you had to adjust with everything and then finally they all gone. When you grew up, you had other friends. They came in life, they were all gone. And those who are now there presently in your life, they will also go. And one, so all these relationships, what we are building up really doesn't exist. They are false. They cannot stay. They have to go. But that relationship, what Prahlada is talking about is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Mama Ivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Sanatana means that eternal, permanent relationship. We are also tired of these changing relationships, is it not? So many people have come in life and gone, come and gone, come and gone, all the time. Where is the end to this? And after leaving this body, if you get another body, another set of relationships begin again. So where is the end to all this? That is why this permanent relationship is more important than the temporary relationships we have cultivated. Temporary relationships will all break and go one day. It will not stay. It cannot stay because it's based on the body. Based on the body. That is what he is saying here, that Mamaivamsho Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What it is trying to tell us is that if you do not recognize this relationship with Krishna, which is Sanatanam or eternal, then all your spiritual life is all bogus. You are executing your family relationships and friendly relationships in this world and relationship with the family members, society and all that. You are talking about spiritual life. What meaning has it got? It doesn't mean anything. So that is why Krishna is saying here that that nitya sambandham means this permanent relationship between us and Krishna, when it comes to our bhava mandalam, in our bhavam, that is called bhakti. That's called bhakti. When this permanent relationship with Antaryami and us, when that comes in our bhavam, in our mood, then it is called bhakti. You see, that is how bhakti is understood. That bhakti means what? Bhakti means experience of Krishna inside. That is what is called bhakti. So, Krishna's swarupam, Ishvara swarupam, Krishna's swarupam is actually bhakti, is bhakti. Ishvara, That means bhakti is not separate from Krishna. Bhakti is not separate from Krishna. That is what Prahlada is saying here. Prahlada's point is that if you keep on developing relationships in this world without understanding Antaryami and your relationship with him, how can bhakti develop in the heart? It will never develop in the heart. Bhakti develops only when recognizing this relationship with Antaryami, and with that relationship gets built up and it comes in our bhavam, in our mood, then it is called bhakti. When the relationship with Antaryami gets built up and it gets transformed into our mood, or that is called bhakti, Ishvara Swarupam. So anubhuti, what they call another word in the Shastram is anubhuti. Anubhuti Swarupaha Ishvaraha, it says. When you start experiencing that within anubhuti, that is called Ishvara. It is called. And Devaki Devi mentions this. And also in other places you will see in the Bhagavatam, Kevalanu, Kevala Anubhava Ananda Swarupam. Kevalam Anubhavam Ananda Swarupam. So Anubhava Swarupam is Krishna. Only if you are experiencing Krishna inside, then you can say it is in experience level. That means bhakti is not separate from Krishna. So bhakti means Bhagavad Anubhavam, experience of Krishna. Anubhavam is bhakti, therefore bhakti and Bhagavan is not, they are not separate. Bhakti means that realization that we have a connection with Krishna all the time. To realize this, actual connection is with Krishna, nobody else. Other connections are all false. So first we have to make this relationship with Krishna, for which first the other relationships has to break. Other relationships are false, but because of illusion we think that they are all real, based on the body. And therefore, that is why that Mahatmas will say that when you have come to that platform, that you have a relationship with Krishna, then what happens? Then you will say, whatever Krishna decides is okay. You will accept it without any complaint. Without any complaint. When do we complain? We complain when we don't feel any relationship with Krishna. That's when we complain. But when you, and when we have our own thoughts and other relationships in this world, That is the important point. So this is the important thing what Prahlada is saying here in this verse. It's an important principle. Trastrosmiham Krupana Valsala Dusahogram Samsara Chakram Kadana Algrasadam Pranidaha Baddha Sokarmabhi Ushatama Te Angrimulam Pritobavarga Sharanam Hoyase Kadanu. Hoyase Kadanu, when you going to call me and give me that connection with Krishna? So this is the way devotees pray. Devotees don't want to live on falsity. Devotees don't want to live on falsity. All the relationships in this world are based on falsity. It has no genuinely any meaning. It is based on falsity. Any relationship in this world, doesn't matter, parents and children, or husband and wife, or any other relationship, in reality they have no meaning. It's all arranged in the society for certain peace in the society. It's been created in that way. But actually the relationship is with Antaryami inside. So it is in that state that the realized person will say that what you liking, that is my liking as well. Whatever you like, I like it. Maharshi used to say this. Whatever you like, I like that. That means it's your like that is more important. What you like is more important than what I like. That's the underlying principle. My liking has no meaning. What you like, that's more important. Because when does all our problem comes? Problem comes when if I have some liking and if some problem, if some block comes for that, somebody blocks it, then distress will come. If I have some liking and somebody puts a block to it, then I will get in distress. So here the point is that I have no more liking. Whatever that happens is okay because that's what you like. Then in that case, that I am not particular how my life should go. Either it should go this way or that way. I am not concerned at all. And why should I become an obstacle in your plan? When you start thinking, when Krishna has a plan with every one of us, Krishna has a plan because he is the Antaryami inside every living being, and he has his plan, accordingly things are happening in our life. Why should I go and become an obstacle to that plan, what Krishna has executing there? So, therefore, why should I become an obstacle for that? First of all, the life is not my life. It is not my life. You are the one who is running this life. You are the one who is running the life. And the screen is yourself, the light is yourself, the film is yourself, and the one, the film who is operating this film is also yourself. Is it not? For example, you can see here that our life is going on what basis? Just like you compared this, that we have the vasanas inside, and Antaryami is inside, which is the light. And through these vasanas, it's coming out, which is the film through which the light is coming out. And the screen, and through the senses, it is going to the world, and it is functioning in this world in that way. And practically speaking, that all these things are experienced in us, happiness, distress, everything. In order that to experience, the senses has to function, the mind has to function, intelligence has to function, body has to function, and also the vasanas inside also has to come in front of our light inside called Antaryami. If Antaryami is not there, none of these activities will happen. Which one? Experience or distress or happiness. It will not happen if Antaryami is not inside. If Antaryami is not inside, mind won't be there. If mind is not there, we can't experience anything. So all the senses which are open to the world outside, and through the senses when you are experiencing this world, we forget the fact that it is only because of Krishna's presence inside that all this experience is happening. Even when you are feeling distress, if Antaryami is not there, you won't feel distress also, or happiness either. So Prahlada's point is that this screen called this in this world, everything what is happening in us and experience us through our mind, intelligence and false ego, everything, all experiences is only due to the presence of Antaryami inside. And it is through him that all experiences are happening. That means the vasana is, which is the role, film role inside, is able to show its effect on us only when Antaryami is inside. Only when Antaryami is inside, the vasana will function. Otherwise it won't function. In order that to experience that, the mind is necessary, which will only function when the Antaryami is inside. Antaryami is inside. Is it not? Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, is it not? So, it is like this, that a person who is acting in a movie is saying here, oh, there is a theme already there in the film. The script has been written already. He has to act according to the script. He can't change the script. The actor has to act according to the script. According to the script, he has to act. Similarly, if the actor starts saying, I will act according to my liking, I'll start doing things according to my liking, then it will not work. The film will not be proper. Film will not come out properly. Just like in cinema or in the film, the actor is different, the director is different, the producer is different in the film. But here, in us, the actor, the producer, the director, the screen, the light, the film, is everything is Krishna. Do you see that difference? Normally when you shoot a film, there is different director, producer, actor, everything, everybody is separate. Is it not? But this film inside us, which is our vasanas inside, if you compare that with the film, what's going on is, all the activities and the persons involved, they cannot function without this Antaryami. In fact, Antaryami himself is operating the mind, he is operating the intelligence, he is operating the film of vasanas, and he is the one who is going out through the different windows to the world and projects the world in front of us. So you can practically see that there is a big difference between a film being shot and this film what is running inside, isn't it? So when Krishna is the Antaryami, is the person who is running our life, why should I go in the middle of that and put a block to everything what the Antaryami is doing inside, isn't it? And that is why, why should I go and create a difficulty? That is where all the problem comes in our life also. Krishna is running our life as Antaryami. He is deciding good or bad, we don't know. He is decided and he is sending different experiences to us. He is running the show from inside. What we do, we go and put a block to that, saying to Antaryami, look, you don't know how to do it, I know how to do it. And that is where all the problem starts. That's where all the problem starts. That is an important point. Yoga Kshema Durandarasyam Sakala Shreya Prado Dyogino Drishta Drishtamato Obadesha Kridino Bahyandara Vyapinaham Sarvajnyasya Dayakarasya Bhavada Kim Vedidavyam Maya Shambho Tum Paramandaranga Itime Chite Smaramanvaham Yoga Kshema Durandarasya Sakala Shreya Prado Dyogino Drishta Drishtamato Obadesha Kridino Bahyandara Vyapinaha Sarvajnyasya Dayakarasya Bhavadakyam Vedidavyam Maya Shambhotvam Paramandaranga Idime Chitte Smaranyanvaham. Actually, there is no need to say to Krishna that what is good and bad. What's good and bad? He is running our life all the time, the way he thinks is proper, isn't it? And he has the responsibility for keeping us going in this way. And for the present and the future, for the present as well as in the future. And he is always ready to look after us. We have to have that faith in Krishna, that Krishna is doing something for our benefit. Not for our, we are seeing sometimes as a friend, sometimes as an enemy with Krishna. That relationship is no good. For example, when things are going on life nicely in life according to our desire, Krishna is our friend. When things are not happening favorably to us, or we feel that it's not something what I like, then Krishna becomes the enemy. Krishna says that is not how it is. The relationship is not like that. Yoga Kshema Dhirandarasya Sagala Shraya Pradad Yogino. That his point is that all religious processes, everything, the religion actually is Krishna's revelations. Krishna's revelations. And he knows us well, more than ourselves, about us. Because he knows our vasanas inside. He knows our impressions, our karana shariram, better than ourselves. And in spite of all that, that's why I say, sarvajnyasya dayakarasya bhavada kim vedidavyam maya. Sarvajnyasya. In the Upanishads you will see this referring to Krishna as sarvajnyasya, sarvavida. Sarvavida means that there is nothing that he does not know about us. So if he is doing something to us, Or if he is putting into a difficult situation in life, put us into a lot through, pull us through a lot of miseries, Krishna must have a reason behind it. There must be a reason behind it. Otherwise it cannot happen. That is why, because he knows about us more than ourselves. We don't know many things. How many lifetimes we have gone through, we don't know. What all we have done in our previous lifetimes, we don't know. What all vasanas we have created, we don't know. Krishna knows. So who knows about us more than us is Krishna. Krishna knows about us more than ourselves. Our track record is known to Krishna more than ourselves. We don't know. We only know what little things we have done in this lifetime. But in several other lifetimes, what all we have done, how many problems we have created for others, and how all kinds of things what we have done, we don't know anything about it, isn't it? We are sitting here thinking that why all this problem is coming. That's all we know. But the fact is that Krishna knows what we have done in our previous lifetimes. Now that is why Sarvajnasya and Dayakarasya. But at the same time, Krishna is very merciful also. He is saying that, look, because you had all these problems created before, and these vasanas have created, therefore to wipe those vasanas out from inside, Krishna has to drag us through so many experiences in this world. And that is when the miseries come. When the miseries come. And so therefore, Sarvajnasya Dayakarasya Bhavada Kim Vedidavyam Maya Shambhotvam Paramandaranga Idime Chitte Smaran Manyuham. Therefore, the only thing what we can do is Shambhotvam Parama Andaranga Idime Chitte. Andarangam means the chitam. In the chitam, in the subtle body, who is present inside in the subtle body, as Andaryami, present there, Smarami, Anvaham. Completely remember him always and to surrender unto him. Complete surrender unto him. So that is the important point here. So particularly that one should never think about using, because we all have this nature in us to looking for some technique in spiritual life. People always asking, have you got any tip, they say, in spiritual life. I heard this once, somebody was asking how to remember Krishna all the time. That was the question. So some speaker mentioned in the class that you have to remember about Krishna all the time. So when the class was over, this devotee asked, can you give me some tips how to remember Krishna all the time? So you know what he said? He said, he has got this watch here on the right hand side, he said, and here he has got a tattoo written K. So he says, when I look at the watch, I see this tattoo K. And I remember Krishna, he said. This is how they have understood that. That is not what Prahlada is saying here. When you don't understand, when we say remember Krishna means what? What does that mean? If you make that also a mechanical process of remembering a picture or remembering a form, that is not what it is mean. What it means is, that's what that verse, this is a very subtle thing. That is why it's difficult sometimes. Bhava karoti vikaroti pratak svabhavam. That bhavam inside means that in all our experiences in experience level, you are recognizing Krishna's presence in us. That is called bhavam. In experience level, that means problems comes in life, in happiness comes, we won't remember Krishna. It is a bit difficult. If happiness comes, you are driven by the happiness, isn't it? But when distress comes in life, able to recognize that Krishna is operating this life from inside as Andaryami, and able to have a conversation with Krishna as Andaryami, that is the bhava. That communication with Krishna, in other words, that is why he is mentioning here that in the bhava mandalam, in the field of that bhavam, we have to build that connection somehow. And you can ask Krishna anything at that time. So, Because the point is, a child, who else can he ask except father and mother? Is it not? So, but the problem is that initially people say, oh, you shouldn't ask anything from Krishna. That's also there. But the important point here is, it begins with desires and various conversations with Krishna. So when you come to the platform of pure bhakti, prior to that, there is a stage in bhakti where it is called kamya bhakti. Kamya means that mutually asking Krishna for your having this conversation with Krishna about the problems of life in this world. So, kamya bhakti means in the Bhagavadam, if you remember that in the second canto, Suga Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, akama sarvagamo va mokshagamo udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. It's a famous verse. Suga Brahmarshi, who is akami, he has no kamam, no desires. But he is saying, if you have desires, still don't give up bhakti. Sarvagamova. Agama sarvagamova. Even if the desires are there, or if you have a desire for liberation, mokshagamam. In all three states, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Still, we should have a relationship with Krishna. Now, sometimes when you say that, oh, if you have material desires, you shouldn't say to Krishna, that is also not 100% correct, because ideal situation is that we should not have desires. But it is not easy to throw away desires. Desires will always be there. One thing or the other will come, or some great difficulties comes in life, naturally you will look for a shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So, Shastram saying, start with that, even with that desires. Let there be bhakti. Let there be some contact and communication with Krishna. Even if it may be with desires. Let that begin with that. Nobody is going to start day one with pure bhakti. That's not going to happen with anybody. As long as we have vasanas inside, there will be desires. And when the desires are there, our bhakti will never be pure. That is no doubt. So therefore, even the authorities in the bhakti process, they say that akama sarvagamova. If you are agamam, it is best. But if you have sarvagamam, all the desires are there, still it is no harm to have bhakti. Because if you have sarvagamam, all desires, still you should have a communication with the Antaryami inside. And in course of time, when this communication with the Antaryami becomes strengthened, then you will notice that this desires leaving you one after the other. Desires won't stay anymore once that relationship is established with Krishna. So just like a child has got the freedom to go and ask his parents for what he wants, whatever desires he has got, a child has got only somebody to ask his parents. Similarly, and that is how that relationship between the child and the parents. Similarly, how we get related to Krishna in this way, that is called bhakti. That is called bhakti. For example, if a child asks his mother, that why does he ask that? Because he has got a relationship with the mother, isn't it? The child says to the mother, I want this, I want that, and buy me this or buy me that, in this way. Similarly, we also have the freedom to ask Krishna to what we want. But we should go and ask that directly from Krishna. But when this asking, one day it will change. How will it change? When the bhakti becomes very pure, you won't even ask for liberation. Even liberation you won't ask. So because that is how the pure devotees. Pure devotees' attitude is like that. They won't ask for anything. That will come at a much later date. But initially, it has to begin with some communication, has to start with Krishna. And our desires is one of those things which help us to develop that link with Krishna through communication. through communication. Vritrasura mentions this. Nanaka prashtam. If you look into the sixth canto, you will see. Nanaka prashtam na japarameshtyam na sarvabhaumam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddhi apunarvavam va samanjasatva virahayakankshe. Vritrasura's prayers in the sixth canto. But he says there that if you look into the 11th chapter, 6-11, 25, 24, 25, 26, 27, four verses, famous prayers in the Bhagavatam from Vritrasura. So, Vritrasura is in that state. He is saying, I am not, I don't want anything. Na nagabhrishtam, na ja parameshtam, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadhipatyam, na yoga siddhi, na abhunarbhavam va samanjasatva virahayakankshay. So, normally in the in material life, in the ordinary life, in this world, people start thinking that asking something from Krishna is bhakti. That is how people begin like that. In the Shastram they say the word used is dehi, dehi, dehi. Dehi means gimme, gimme, gimme. That one. So, so that is why many of the songs written by the devotees also you will see dehi, palayamam, rakshamam. 2-3 words you can see, you can make a prayer. Is it not? Easily you can make a prayer. Many songs are like that. If you take, for example, that prayer, Krishna, 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 Pahimam, Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam, Krishna, Kesho, Krishna, Kesho, Krishna, Kesho, Pahimam. So, all you need is few names of Krishna. To that you add this Pahimam, Rakshamam, Palayamam. That's enough. It's become a song straight away. Isn't it? So, similarly, similarly, that is how all these great devotees have sung and their songs have come like that. For example, there are differences among the devotees when they write glorifications, when they write their prayers also. The only way you will know about that is, for example, the famous in the Carnatic music, Tyagaraja, Muthuswami Dikshidhar and Shyama Shastri. Three famous personalities in the Carnatic traditions. And if you look at their prayers, it's all conversations with the deity. Tyagaraja with Ramachandra. Tyagaraja's conversations with Ramachandra is all his songs, what he wrote. Everything. What he wrote is all conversations with Ramachandra. With Ramachandra. And similarly, Shyama Shastri's prayer, Muthuswami Dikshidhar's prayers is all with Sri Parvati, the deity whom he worshipped. His conversations with her. In that way. So, but if you look at them, you will always find them very refreshing in the sense that because it has come from the devotees, from a, such a deeper level, that there is such a bhavam in those kirtanam, what they have written. And you will experience that every moment when you sing them, it will look as though it is very brand new. New kirtanam that they have written. For example, they are the originality. There is originality in there. Why it is original? Because these personalities, they did not sit down and write a kirtanam like the way poets do. Poets do in a different way. For example, you know, in say Bollywood movies or Kollywood movies or Chollywood movies, all these movies, they bring you some family life and family problems, everything. And then suddenly there will be some deities they will show. The film actor or actress, they are worshipping the deity. And for their purpose, person who is producer, he would have authorized somebody to write the lyrics and the script, isn't it?
So when he writes the songs, how does he write? He doesn't have any bhavam. He just sits there, he picks up words from different places, put it together, and it will become a kirtan in the movie. It will come out like that, isn't it? In all the films it's like that. They are not pure devotees who have written that. So when you hear them, you will see that they have stolen some words from different kirtanam and they have put it together and put it to us and they have given music to it and it goes with the film. And second time when you hear that, you don't feel any attraction towards that. But what Tyagaraja has written, or Shyama Shastri or Muthuswami Dikshitar, what he wrote thousands of years ago, even today when somebody sings, who has that bhavam, he experiences that. Why? Because the bhavam what Tyagaraja had, he has put that into that song. It has come from bhavam. It has not come from poetical capabilities. Like in the film, or for example, poets also write different songs. It does not carry any kind of bhakti in there. It is purely an act which he has done simply for the purpose of the movie, because he gets paid for that. Whereas when great devotees, when they wrote, all abhangs and everything, if you look, you will see that it has come from their heart. Therefore, when you sing them even today, it looks new. Why? Because the bhavam in there, what Tyagaraja has put in there, or Muthuswami Dikshitar put in there, that remains there. For example, Muthuswami Dikshitar, his songs, if you read, if you sing, you will find there Yoga Shastram, Vedantam, Tantram, and in much deeper level, because he was an expert in all those things. Yoga Shastram, Vedantam, Tantram. All the three things he has put into the Kirtanam form. Into the Kirtanam form. So, whereas some other Kirtanam, they are very simple. Pahimam, Palayamam, Rakshamam, simple kirtanam, like that. All it's saying is to Krishna, protect me, look after me, and save me from this mess. So, but one thing is, none of the pure devotees, when they wrote their kirtanam, they were never asked anything. Do this for me, or do that for me. And never they have asked anything. They're asked anything. Instead, like Vritrasura said here, what he said was that, I don't want anything. I don't want the heaven. I don't want to be an emperor. What to talk about anything, I'm not even praying that I shouldn't get another birth. Aham hari tava padai gamulam dasanu daso bhavadasmi bhuya manasmare asubadeir gunamste grnidava karmagarodukayam na naga prashtam, na japarameshtyam, na sarvabhomam, na rasadhivartyam, na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va samanjasatva virahaya kankshe. So, samanjasatva virahaya kankshe. And also, ajada vaksham vivamadaram khaka, sanyam yadha valsadara chudhartha, priyam priyeva vyashidam vishanna, mano aravindacha dudurchade tvam. Mamotama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakram bhramada swakarma bhi tun maya alpa alpa jadara gehe asakta jessasya nadhatha bhuyal. The four verses in the sixth canto. You can see Vritrasura saying to Krishna that after saying that I'm not bothered, whether I'm not concerned about emperor's position, heavenly planets, or even about taking another birth, I am not bothered. And if you want to put me into any kind of problems, I don't mind that. But still, I should never forget you. That's the prayer. I should never forget you. Because if I have forgotten you, then everything is over. If everything is over. This is the principle in the Vedantam also. That it is spoken in a bhakti level. When we say that if I forget you, I have lost everything. In Jnana Margam, what do they say? Surubha Smriti. If you forget about your identity, then that is distress.
In Bhakti Margam, when you say, you will say like this, if I forget Krishna, I am in difficulty. It's the greatest distress. Forgetting Krishna is the greatest distress. In Jnana Margam, what do they say? Surupa Vismriti. Forgetting who you are, your real identity, that is distress. That is distress. So you can see, either in the Jnana Margam or in the Bhakti Margam, unless you are on the spiritual platform, it is always distress. It's always distress. So, the moment we forget about our Swarupam, Swarupam means who we are, then all distress will come. And what you can see the problem, as soon as you forget your identity, who you are, then all distress will in this world will come to us. Because first thing, you will remember that you, in order to forget your real identity of Atma, what happens at that time? You have to realize that you are the body. Isn't it? When you forget yourself, your spiritual identity, the first thing that happens at that time is that you are identifying with the body. Straight away. Identification has to be there somewhere. Either in the spiritual platform or on the bodily platform. The moment you lose your identification with the self, Antaryami inside, immediately your identification with the body begins. Identification with the body begins. That's why when we wake up in the morning, first thing, as soon as you wake up, don't jump out of the bed straight away. Think, realize that as soon as you say you have woken up, that is the first time you are drowning yourself into ignorance. Your ignorant life begins with waking up in the morning. Why? In the deep sleep state, you are not identifying with the body. In the wakened state, what happens? You are completely waking up to the body, waking into the body. That's what happens, is it not? When you wake up in the morning, where do you wake up into? You wake up into the body. Up to that time, you were in your own identity, who you were, real identity of the self. But what happened? By waking up, you have woken up into the body. That means your identification with the body has begun. And from then, so if it is at that time, you have to feel depressed. Because this waking up into the body is not a very good thing. As soon as you've woken up into the body, what happens? Mind comes. Ahankaram comes first. That's what waking up to the body means. Ahankaram comes, mind comes, intelligence comes, ego comes, everything comes, senses comes, and then finally the body comes. Step by step, everything comes, isn't it? So, therefore, that is the time one has to be more careful about anything, more than anything else, that waking up to the body is not a very fantastic thing. It is the beginning of our ignorance. Then the whole day, based on the body, we act in this world, or the mind, we act in this world. So another 10 or 12 hours, which we call as a vacant state, that's what is happening, this ignorant existence. So here, it mentions here, that so once you have forgotten your identity with Antaryami, so Swarupam. Remember, in the Bhagavatam, Mukti tektva anyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Second canto. Mukti hitva anyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. You will see in the second canto, what does Mukti means? What does liberation means? Liberation means tektva anyadharupam. Anyadharupam means, when you are identifying with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, this is all anyadharupam. That's not you. That's not you. But if you manage to come out of all that, and if you are situated within the self as Antaryami, then that is called mukti. In the second canto it says here. So, once you have forgotten your swarupam, once you have lost it, then all distress will come in this world. You can't do anything about it. That means you have to start thinking, I am this body first. Is it not? You start thinking, I am this body as soon as you woke up. Once you have started thinking you are this body, then you have to accept birth and death with that. Once you have accepted you are this body, then along with that, it will start, birth and death will become a reality for us. And once you started birth and death as reality, then material existence also becomes reality. Material existence also becomes reality. So, you can see the problem as soon as Swarupa Vismriti. Swarupa Vismriti means the moment I fall away from my identity with Antaryami, all the problems are started coming one after the other. Is it not? That is why when we say in bhakti language, you say, moment I forget Krishna, I am in trouble. You say, like that. That's how we say. In bhakti process, we say, the moment we forget Krishna, you are in trouble. Therefore, they say, never forget Krishna. But forgetting Krishna means what? What does that mean? In the Jnana Margam, they say, if you fall away from your Swarupam, Vismriti. Swarupa Vismriti means forgetfulness of your own identity. When Swarupa Vismriti happens, then there is a problem. Problem is this, that you fall into bodily identity. You fall into bodily identity. Once you fall into bodily identity, immediately you can see how one after the other all the problems follows with that. First, if the moment you identify with the body, you have to accept that birth and death is reality. And not only that, all other problems of the world will come. Straight away it will come. Material existence. It means material existence. So, Swarupa Vismriti. So, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, or when we are doing some kirtanam, or when we are doing any spiritual activity, what does that mean? It means that even your prayers, you have lost your identity, who you are. You are not remembering who you are. It's all based on the body, isn't it? With the bodily identity, you are engaged in the prayers also. So, when you have forgotten that relationship with Krishna, which is called the Swarupa Vismriti, at that time, you will feel like asking something from Krishna. It will happen at that time. That is because of this reason only. Sometimes you say, I don't want to ask anything from Krishna. But still you will ask something from Krishna. Some help you will be looking for. So, therefore there says that, for example, people will pray to Krishna like this. I don't want to accept another body. That is a desire not to come to this material world again. After experiencing this beautiful world, somebody prays like this, I don't want to come back here. So sometimes you will see, what I'm trying to point out is, how ignorance never leaves us. So, when you are saying to Krishna, I don't want another birth, the question we have to ask is, are you born now? It's an important question, because even in that prayer, when you are praying to Krishna, I don't want another life, you are talking with this ignorance inside. What is that ignorance? Taking that you are born now. Actually, even now you are not born. You are not born even now. So, that is the important principle. That means, this ajnanam or avidya or ignorance is there in our prayers all the time. Even while you are praying to Krishna, this ignorance or ajnanam inside us is still interfering in there. Is it not? Because you see that prayers, even Vritrasura's prayers, na yoga siddhi, he says, I don't want heavenly planets, I don't want emperor's position, I don't want Indra's position, I don't want any yoga siddhis. And then he says, na puna agunarbhavamva. Agunarbhavamva means that I don't want another birth. Even if another birth happens, I am not bothered, he is saying there. Abhinarbhavamma. Samanjasattva virahayakankshe. Sometimes devotees say, some devotees who have suffered enough in this world, they will say to Krishna, I don't want another life again in this world. I don't want to come back here, they say. And they say that prayer is pure. then even that prayer is not pure. Because if you are saying like that, there is ajnanam inside there that you are accepting that you are born now. But actually you are not even born now. From Vedantic point of view, you are never born and you never die. So that is the problem. So so somebody asked about this to Maharshi also, this question came up, that what should I do about the next life, he said. Maharshi's answer was, are you born now, for example? He said, are you born now? He says, yes, I am born now. All right. Then he said, you find out who is born. Who you find out that? So keep going, inquiring about that. At that time you will know that birth and death does not exist in the soul. Soul has no birth or death. This birth and death is all for the subtle body, is it not? Subtle body is the one which is taking birth and death. So bhakti, what bhakti does is, bhakti gives us this experience, this realization, that so once all desires have left us, that is why Vritrasura mentioned that. Na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va samanjasatva virahaya kankshe. Once all desires have gone from inside, then that person is liberated. Person is liberated. So that rope that binds us into this world is these desires. So, so for whom all the desires have gone, he is already liberated. That is how Upanishad says about that. Brahma Nirvanam says, Upanishad, Yatha Sarva Pramuchyade Kamaha. Upanishad says, so, when all the desires gone away from inside, Amrudo Bhavati Atra Brahma Samashnute, and he has become nectar. Here itself he has become Brahmam, and Brahmam is not something that you go and join somewhere. That means that you are losing touch at the moment. If you have to go and join somewhere, what it means is you are losing touch with your real nature, isn't it? So, praptavyam means something that you are already, somehow it has been covered, that cover has gone, coverage has gone, and if you say to somebody that you have to become something tomorrow, that you have forgotten your real identity, who you are. So, to tell that is not very precise a statement, that you have to become something. You don't become something. What it is that you are already that, but this coverage has gone. Ajnanam, or the cover that was inside us, gone away from inside. So while situated in that state of the self, I want to become this, become that, and next life I have to go to heavenly planets, and then it becomes birth, death, all this becomes a reality. Actually, none of those are real. Which one? Birth, death is not real. You know Krishna says this in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna says, Uddhava, this thing called birth and death, they are not real. Mrityu atyanda vismriti. Why Krishna said like that? Why did Krishna say that they are not real? Reason is that if you accept birth and death as real, then everything else you are building up around that is all ignorance. Because birth and death is not real. Birth and death is only for the subtle body. It is not for the Swarupam. Swarupam has no birth or death. Swarupam is eternal blissful knowledge all the time. So whenever we are talking about birth and death, it's all reference to the subtle body. So that is why Krishna is saying there that if you accept that there is a thing called birth and death, then you have to accept that, then only this idea comes, I have to go to the heavenly planets, and everything become real. Because you have accepted the body as real. Because you have accepted the body as real, you are accepting birth and death as real. You see the problem? If you accept the body as real, then you have to accept birth and death as real.
And you have to also accept along with that
other plans, like I want to go to the heavenly planets, and you are frightened about going to hellish planets. All this becomes real. In reality, none of them are real. There is going to heavenly planets is not real. Going to hellish planets is not real. But because we have accepted the body, therefore all these things has become real. So that is why forgetting about our identity, forgetfulness of our identity, Sosvarupam, Sosvarupanu, Anusandhanam, Bhaktiriti, Abhidhiyate, says Vivekachudamani. That Mokshakarana Samagriyam Bhaktireva Giriyasi, Sosvarupanam, Anusandhanam, Bhaktiriti, Abhidhiyate, says. What does it mean? It means that among all the processes, bhakti process is beautiful, Bhaktireva Giriyasi is the best, because so sarubhanu anusandhanam, if you are continuously inquiring after your own self, it is called bhakti. It is called bhakti. So proper bhakti, when it is built inside, then the identification with the body will never happen. Will never happen if there is proper bhakti inside. And if you forget this identity with the sarupam, all other vikalpam will come one after. These are all vikalpam. Which one? Birth is a vikalpam, death is a vikalpam. Going to heavenly planets is a vikalpam. Going to hellish planets is a vikalpam. And similarly, one after the other, all other identification in the world, all other vikalpam will come in succession. One after the other, it will come purely because of our forgetfulness of our real identity, who we are. Who we are. So, and because there are many vasanas and desires inside, because of that, one after the other, more and more vikalpam will come. Vikalpam will come. And and that is what he is saying here also. And that is what Prahlada is saying, mentioning here, that he says, everyone in this world, he says, They all bind me with a chain. They all bind me with a chain. Prahlada says, I have seen great, great personalities here. Nobody seems to be happy here, he says. And in any position, they don't have any happiness inside them. Many, many personalities he mentioned there. Starting from his own father, who was the greatest personality, is it not? He says, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlada says that there was no one who was more powerful than my father. So, but in spite of that, he was so powerful, in spite of that, time took control over him, killed him, isn't it? So, when it is like that, Prahlada says, what can I ask you? Prahlada is making it very clear to Narasimham. I have not come here to ask you anything. I don't want to ask you. Because what I have seen, personalities like my father, who was so powerful, they also have been wiped out from this world one day by the influence of time. When that can happen, what's the point in asking something? Prahlada is saying. So, therefore he says, that is that verse, what we looked last time. Kutra shisha shruti sukha mrigatrishni rupaha kvedam kale paramashesha rujam viroha nirvidyade nadujano yadabhi dividvan kamanalam madhulavai shamayan duravaihim. Kutra shisha shruti sukha mrigadrishni rupaha. He's saying, why vairagyam does not come to us? Vairagyam does not come to us. So, little desires inside our mind, little ones. Madhulavai, kamanalam madhulavai shamayan durapai. Prahlada's point is that a fire is burning.
And in that fire, to extinguish that fire, you are pouring a little bit ghee to extinguish that, isn't it? But if you keep pouring a little ghee into it, what will happen? The fire will start burning much better because the ghee gets into the fire. Similarly, if we keep on trying to fulfill these little desires that's coming in our mind, whole lifetime, this business desiring will become stronger and stronger inside. That is the way Prahlada sees that. Prahlada's point is, we are thinking that, oh, this, I don't have big desires, they say. A small lottery win. Or I'm not looking for millions. So 100 or 200,000 pounds, just so that I can just pay my mortgage and pay for the children's education or whatever. Or I just have enough for my retirement, they say. So, as long as there is desires like this, then what will happen is that it is like pouring a little bit ghee into that fire which is already burning there. That's what Prahlada's point is. That Prahlada, why Prahlada is glorified in the Bhagavatam so much? A devotee who never asked anything from Krishna, who never asked anything from Krishna. You will see an interesting comparison there. Prahlada's for not asking anything and Mahabali for giving everything to Krishna. Two different nature of person. Grandfather does not want anything and grandson says everything is yours. Isn't it? The more interesting thing is Mahabali's Alpanivedanam. Alpanivedanam, Mahabali is considered to be the epitome of the best personality for representing Alpanivedanam, isn't it? Of the nine processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Alpanivedanam, nine processes. Out of that, Prahlada is the example for Dasyam, for servant. How Dasya Bhakti, in perfection, if you want to see, it is in Prahlada. So, Prahlada's nature, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. All the time he keeps repeating that. When Narasimham asked to Prahlada, I have feeling compassion for Prahlada because he has killed his father in front of him. And says to Prahlada, Prahlada, ask something. I kept on pushing Prahlada to ask. What did Prahlada say? If you insist something, the only prayer I have is give me that strength so that I won't ask anything from you. That's the blessing I want from you. That my mind will not fall into that trap of asking something from you. If you insist that I should ask something, the only thing I want to ask from you is that let me never develop the mentality of asking something from you. Give me that blessing, he said. Prahlada says to Narasimha. So this is Prahlada. The grandson Mahabali says, Atmanivedanam, he says to Krishna that everything you can have, everything I can have. He handed over his body, mind, intelligence, senses, and all the three planetary systems. That's all what he had. He handed over everything to Krishna. Krishna says, what else is left? What else is left? Prahlada says, the only thing what I have got is this ahankaram inside. I hand over that to you also. I hand over that as well to you. That means, after that, Mahabali doesn't exist in the form of ahankaram. Ahankaram has gone from Mahabali. That's the last thing what he handed over to Krishna. So, in reality also, Krishna asked this question to Mahabali. Vamanamurti asked this question. When you say that you have got something in this world, what actually do you have here? You can't say that the body is yours. Body, Krishna has given to us. Material nature has given. Of course, the properties and bank balance and all, what to talk about that? That is obviously known. It is Krishna's. So, Krishna says to Mahabali, that you are saying that you have given me this, given me that. You haven't given me anything. That's all mine anyway. All it is mine. You have taken it and then you're handing it over back to me. So, as far as the three planetary systems are concerned, that's anyway it's mine. If you want to say on your own what you have got, what have you got? You got your body, you say you got your body, mind, intelligence and all that. That's all mine anyway. Krishna Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, the only thing what you can say that you have got is your ahangara. That's the only thing what you have. So hand that over to me. And that is how Mahabali got rid of ahangaram from inside. So, in the similarly, here, you can see, Prabhupada's point is, these are the different aspects of the bhakti, Dasya Bhakti and Atmani Vedanam, two things there. So, he says here, that if you keep on fulfilling the desires, in any form, Kamanalam Madhulavai Shamayan Durabai, he says there. Is it not? It will never go. Just like we said that if I have enough, say £250,000, I'm willing to retire tomorrow. People say like that. That's my target. I have enough. Then afterwards I don't want to do any work. I want to go on a holiday. And then I want to start my spiritual life after that. As for everything works according to your plan. But it doesn't work like that. It's not. So that is why Prahlada is saying here that that if you keep on making this kind of plans inside, thinking that, fulfilling the desires, that this fire of desires will keep burning inside. It will never stop. So never to think that I will fulfill all my desires and then I will start my spiritual life afterwards. So that is why he says here, that vairagyam will never come in that way. So, so therefore, Narasimha asked to Prahlada, have you got that type of vairagyam to that degree? He says. Prahlada says, I don't know. It is your grace that it is happening in that way. Because think about me, he says. Where was I born? Among the demons, isn't it? And that is what he is saying in the next verse. You can see that look at me. When Narasimham says to Prahlada, Prahlada, have you got to that state of vairagyam like that? Prahlada says, it has happened because when I look about myself, thinking about myself, what was my birth? Kwaham Raja Prabhavam Ishatamodhikesmin Jadasuredaragulekutavanukambaha Na Brahmano Nadubhavasya Navairamayam Yan Marpida Shirasi Palmagara Prasadaham. 26, verse 26. Kwaham Raja Prabhavam Ishatamodhikesmin Jadasuredaragulekutavanukambaha Na Brahmano Nadu Bhavasya Navairamaya Yanme Arpida Shirasi Palmagara Prasadaha. He is saying to him that by birth Raja Prabhava means I am born with Rajogunam. I am born with Rajogunam. I was not born with Sattogunam. Prahlada's point is that. What does that mean? If you are born with Rajogunam, that means you cannot sit quiet. You have to be active all the time. That's Rajogunam, is it not? So Prahlada is saying, do you know what the symptom of demons are? What the symptoms of demons are? The symptom of demons is always a disturbed brain. Always in a disturbed state. They cannot sit in one place peacefully. Always disturbed state. So, therefore he is saying here that Kwaham Raja Prabhava Isha Tamom Adhige Asmin Jataha Suredaragule Kotavanu Kamba. Earlier, he will see here also that while talking about the demons, because Prahlada says, because I am born in a demoniac family, I know what demoniac life means. He is so clear about that. Therefore he is saying this, that any time with a demon, the nature is always in anxiety. Always in anxiety. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen day after? Udigna chitaha. Udigna chitta means creates anxiety within himself about the future. This is a demonic nature, to be always in anxiety about other things. Udigna buddhaya. Somewhere he mentions that also. Udigna buddhe. Probably later on he comes to that. Even when he's talking about his nature, he is saying himself that this is my nature. If you look into verse 43, naivodvije paradurateya vaitaranya tudbiya gayana mahamrudamagna chitaha shochetato vimukha chedasam indriyartha maya sukhaya paramuddhato vimudham. Nobody else knows better than Prahlada what a demon means, because he got birth in that demoniac family. So nobody has analyzed demoniac nature better than Prahlada. So Prahlada says, my father was the greatest of all the demons. And I know what the demoniac quality means. Demoniac quality means that always disturbed, always in action, rajogunam, always busy with something or the other, doing something or the other, and always this anxiety inside. Udigna buddhe. Udigna buddhe asadalma bhava. In the 11th canto you will see. Udigna buddhe asadalma bhavam. Kavi Maharshi says there. Manye kutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujobasana matra nityam. You will see that. Udigna buddhe asadalma bhava. That udigna buddhi. Udigna buddhi means this. In the second chapter, 11.2.33. Udigna buddhi. 11.2.33. Manyik akutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujobasana matra nityam. Udigna buddhe asadalma bhavat vishwalpana yatra nivarta devi. So that udigna buddhi, that is demonic nature. First thing is symptom of a demon. How do you understand somebody is a demon? Demon is, his first thing is that if you look at him, all the time he will have a very disturbed mind, disturbed brain, disturbed situation, and he will always be active in karma. Karma is his nature, engaged in karma. He cannot sit in one place peacefully. He has to do something. And then finally, this udigna chitehe, udigna buddhe. So, from this, put this on us, ourselves, and look at it. Are we demons or are we devotees? You have to ask that question to yourself, isn't it? We have to ask that question to ourselves. Basically, you can see all our nature is demoniac. We think we have all become devotees, haven't we? We are thinking like that. But when you look at what Shastram is saying to us, these qualities, always disturbed mind, always in anxiety, always busy with doing something, these three things, is very typical nature of a demon. A demon will be like this, always doing something, always anxiety about the future, and always disturbed mind. Prahlada knows this. So that's what Prahlada is saying here. Udigna buddhi. He says, kwaham. This is me. Prahlada is saying this. I was born in that situation. Kwaham. Raja prabhava. Isha. Tamo adhike asmin. Jataha. Suredaragule kvatava anukambaham na brahmano nadubhavasya navairamayam enme arpidashirasi palmagara prasadaham. Why Prahlada said this? Prahlada is saying, There standing Brahma, Lord Shiva and Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi, Lord Shiva and Brahma, they are standing there. They are above all these things. They are not demons. They are great personalities. But they did not come and pacify you. But you have accepted my prayers. Prahlada's prayers, because Prahlada went and pacified Narasimha, isn't it? So, Prahlada's point is that even though I was born in this demoniac background, always disturbed mind, always active, and always in anxiety about the future, all these things are in me. That is not there in Brahma or Lord Shiva or Mahalakshmi. They don't have those things. They are higher personalities than me. I am in the mode of passion in Rajogunam. They are not. But in spite of that, you have accepted me and blessed me with your putting your hands on my head. Padmagara Prasada. How did this happen? When I look at that, so this Udigna Buddhi means that Udigna Buddhi means those people, they must have some engagement outside all the time. If they don't have any engagement, they'll go crazy. That is what it is. Udigna Buddhi means that they must have an engagement all the time. Because if there is some disturbance, if there is no disturbance in the brain, they feel restless, uneasy. All of us. We are not much different. We shouldn't think, oh, we are all realized to people. It is us Prahlada is talking about. If there is no disturbance in the world, we feel miserable. Something should be there to disturb our mind so that we can work on it. This nature, this is called Udigna Buddhi. Udigna Buddhi, isn't it? So, there should be some engagement so that it continuously creates some disturbance in the brain. And, but that is Rajogunam. That's Rajogunam. That's what he's saying here. Kvaham Rajaprabhava Isha Tamo Adhiyesmin. And jada suredaragule kotavanu kambaha. But your mercy is such that you have accepted me who is like this. Prahlada is saying. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Mahalakshmi, they are not like that. They are in the transcendental state. But you didn't accept their prayers. Instead you have accepted my prayers. So that is what makes me think that I have received your mercy. Otherwise this would not have happened. Prahlada's explanations. Why that? Because when, what is that mercy? Mercy means, Narasimha Murthy asked Prahlada, how do you know that you have no desires? You have no desires? The Prahlada, because earlier verse you saw, how he was asking that, he is saying to them, that, he says to Prahlada, Prahlada says there, that, how come that you don't have any desires? You think you are free from all desires. Prahlada says to him, Prahlada says to Narasimha Murthy at that time, that I know that, that renunciation, vairagyam and freedom from desires will not come to me easily. Because I was born in the family of asuras who are fully in Rajogunam. And once you are born in Rajogunam, that means there will be desires. And the nature of a demon or one who is in Rajogunam is what Prahlada spoken there. He is saying there that that he always wants some disturbed brain, disturbed mind. Disturbed brain is necessary for a demon. And in order for that he will create some work in this world and create disturbance inside. Otherwise he will feel restless. He will feel restless. Udigna Buddhi. But I am like that, Prahlada says. But the fact that, in spite of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Mahalakshmi and all there, when I started saying these prayers to you, you have accepted my prayers and pacifying me. What does that mean? That means that you have blessed me somehow, therefore my desires have gone away from inside. That demonic nature has left me. All this is demonic nature. Which one?
to think that Uddigna Buddhe. Uddigna Buddhe means anxiety about the future, disturbed brain, always engaged in action. These are the three things of a demon. Demonic nature, that is. And it is based on that Prahlada is saying this. That you can see, this is why rishis are saying to us, the more you can sit peacefully without action, the more you will become purified. You will become divine in your nature. Your nature will become more divine. The more you engage your mind in activities, to that extent you will become a demon. That's also there. The more you are busy with your mind and intelligence in this world, the more you will develop the demonic quality. It is not possible otherwise, because that is the way spiritual life works. That's the way it operates. That the shanti state, if there is no shanti inside, that is the typical nature of a demon. Demon is always making plans, because he feels if he has no agenda ahead. We got our diary, we keep marking these days, these things to be done. We are marking for years together, isn't it? For 2016, already started marking for 2016. Why? Because demons enjoy that, making plans for several years from now. In this way, whole lifetime he is making plans and he's gone one day. So, kvaham raja prabhavam ishatamo dhigasmin jadasure dargule kutavanu kambaha na brahmano nadu bhavasya na vairamayam yanvarpida shirasi palmagaram prasadaham. So, the more we engage the mind in activities, the more we will become a demon. More we will become a demon. Because we will create the disturbance first, and or we will get disturbed by hearing some sound, or we will create some sound and create the disturbance. Either way. Either you will hear some sound and you will get disturbed, or you will create some sound and disturb everybody. So, sometimes you can see, even while sleeping, they will create some noise and sleep. They will create some noise and sleep. While creating some disturbance even in the dreams, and then you will sleep like that. Creating some disturbance in the ears. So that is what he is saying here. Uddigna chitaha. Prahlada is saying, we are all born in that race of Rajogunam. And if every single day, if you have not given trouble to somebody, we won't get sleep. Somebody, we have to give some trouble to somebody in this world. Otherwise we won't get sleep. So, and that kind of birth I have got, Prahlada says. Prahlada says, it's like that, what can I do? That's why he's saying here, Isha, tamo adhige asmin. Tamo adhige asmin. Tamo adhige means, to that extent, tamogunam is inside me. Jada sureda regule. Jada sureda regule. Then, I'm born in that race, Asurakulam, Asura's family. And in spite of that, I received your mercy. I received your mercy. So, he uses the word tavanukamba. Anukamba means, anukamba, Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita also, that Krishna uses that word in the Bhagavad Gita. You remember? Tesham evanukambartam aham jnanajantama nashayami atma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvada. So this word anukamba means that as much as we execute bhakti to Krishna, that Krishna says here that out of anukamba, anukamba means that out of compassion for them, that is called anukamba, that compassion for that person. So Prahlada is also saying the same thing, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, I think it's in the 9th chapter, Tesham evanukambartam aham jnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata. Krishna is saying that out of my compassion for that person, I remove that ignorance from him. How? Nashayami atma bhavastam. Situated within him as Andaryami, I reveal to him who I am,
And Jnana Deepena Vasvada, the lamp of knowledge will start shining inside. That is that verse, you can see that in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham evanukambartam aham ajnanajam tama. I remove the ignorance from inside. Nashayami atma bhavastho ajnanajam tamam. Ajnanam tamogunam. I nashayami, I destroy that. Then what happens? Atma bhavastho jnana deepena bhasvata. Situated within the heart as the Antaryami inside, I reveal unto him who my real identity he reveals to me. That means I realize who I am. I don't identify with the body. So that is Krishna's compassion, that is what is called anukamba. Tesham evanu akambhartam, anukambhartam. So that anukamba is the word Prahlada is also using here. Kuaham Raja Prabhava Isha Tamodhikesmin Jadasuretarakule Chattavanukambaha. Purely out of Krishna's compassion, this has happened. That is what Prahlada is saying here. That same word what Krishna has used in the Bhagavad Gita, Prahlada is also using here. That he says to Krishna Narasimham that I was born in a demoniac race. And why have you shown this compassion to me? I don't deserve it. Prahlada's mood is like that. Prahlada is saying, Brahma, Shiva, Mahalakshmi, they are standing there. You didn't show this compassion to them, but you showed it to me, which I don't deserve. Because I was born in this demoniac race, isn't it? So, it was, and na brahmano, na dubhavasya, na vairamaya, tanma apida shirasi palmagara prasadaham. So, at that saying this, Prahlada paid his obeisances to Narasimham, and it is at that point Narasimhamurti put his hand on Prahlada's head. So, and in that hand, whole Prahlada's little head went inside that hand. So when he looked at Narasimham looked huge, massive size. And when Prahlada paid his obeisances, it is at that point Narasimhamurti, who was roaring like a lion, suddenly became very, very peaceful. Very, very peaceful. Stopped the roar and sat there peacefully. And he put his hands, just like you put the crown on top of somebody, similarly he put his head on top of Prahlada's head. He put his hand on top of Prahlada's head. Prahlada is saying here, when did this happen? That his heart got melted very much. And what is the reason? Reason is this. As long as we have the ahangaram inside or pride inside, that we will feel the distress and happiness of this world. We will feel the happiness and distress of this world. So, and that means that the heart is feeling the heat of the distress, feeling the heat of distress. So, here he is saying that as soon as he put the hand on me, immediately that he felt that feeling of that coolness of protection of Narasimham. He experienced that. That's why. Andha Sheetalaha Padmakaraha Prasadaha. That as soon as Narasimhamurti put his hand on Prahlada's head, immediately Prahlada says he experienced inside in his heart a cooling effect inside him. And as we have mentioned, what does that mean? It means that from heart to Brahmarandram. Brahmarandram is the topmost portion. And there is a channel, what is called Karnanadi. It is in the third canto, spoken about that. Vidura mentions this, isn't it? Karnanadi. And that Karnanadi is also called Amrudanadi. There are many nadis in the body, but this particular body, particular nadi, or the nerve that goes away there, if you open that nadi, this nadi, then all other, this nadi is the one, which particular nadi, which carries the knowledge of the self to us. Knowledge of the self to us. All other nadi in the body, they carry the vasanas, other vasanas. That is why this particular nadi is called Karna Nadi. Amrita Nadi, it is called. These are all from the Yoga Shastram. Patanjali's Yoga Shastram. So, Amrita Nadi or Karna Nadi, that carries the knowledge of the self into a person. When Narasimha Murthy put the hand on Prahlada's head, straight away, the after effect of that was in the heart of Prahlada. Because straight away the transcendental knowledge started flowing through the Karna Nadi into the heart. This nadi is connected to Brahmarandram and to the heart. As soon as Narasimha Murthy put the hand on top of Prahlada's head, the knowledge of the self started flowing from there, from the Amrita Nadi or through the Karna Nadi, right into the heart. In other words, what it means is Prahlada felt self-realization. What it means, he experienced that straight away. So, so all other nadi only carries Vishayavasana. Vishayavasana means our sense enjoyment vasanas. Vasanas. All other nadis carry that, but this particular nadi has a capacity to carry the Brahmavidyana, Brahmavidya. So he, Prahlada says here that as soon as he put the hand on my head, Sadat Sarasparsham Udavilam Ashubaha Sahi Abhityadi Paralma Darshanaha. Sridharajaya Swamiji mentions there that Abhivyakti Paralma Darshanaha. As soon as you put the hand on my head, that he immediately experienced Narasimha Murthy's presence inside, Abhivyakti, and nothing else has happened. What you have to remember here is that Narasimha Murthy is already present in Prahlada's heart as his Atma, as the soul, as Andaryami inside. Only thing is, he started experiencing it at that moment. He started realizing that this Andaryami inside Prahlada is nobody else than this Narasimha who is outside. That realization happened to him. Because it says Nitya Siddham. Nitya Siddham means he has already got it. Abhivyakta Paralma Darshanaha. Paralma Darshanam, that means what you already have in the heart, it started manifesting. It started manifesting. That's all it means. When we say that when Narasimha Murthy put the hand on Prahlada's head, immediately this nadi got opened up, Karna Nadi or Amrita Nadi, and the knowledge started flowing from there, from Narasimha Murthy's hand, straight through the Karna Nadi or Amrita Nadi to the heart of Prahlada. When that self knowledge of the self came up inside, Prahlada started experiencing that the Andaryami inside him is none different than this Narasimha Murthy who is standing outside. That realization. That is what he is saying here. So, Enme Arpita Shirasi Palmakara Prasadha, he says. And after this, he says that, what shall I do for this, what you have done to me? Prahlada's words. Next. For putting this hand on, Prahlada said, Prahlada is acknowledging this. What can I do? He paid obeisances. Narasimha Murthy was very pleased with Prahlada. Narasimha put the hands on Prahlada's head. With the result of that was, the Brahmavidya flew to the heart, and when it flew inside, Prahlada realized that the Andaryami inside him is non different than Narasimha who is standing outside. So that is why the next. Kwaham Raja Prabhavam Ishatamodhikesmin Jadasure Dragule Kotava Nukamba Na Brahmano Nadubhavasya Navairamaya Yenme Arpita Shirasi Palmagaram Prasadaham Nesha Paravaramadir Bhavado Nanusyal Jandorya Thalma Sukurdo Jagadastadhabi Sam Sevaya Suradaro Rivade Prasada Seva Nirupa Mudayona Paravaratvam. നൈഷാപരാവരമതിർഭവതോന്നുസ്യാൽ ജന്തോർയഥാത്മസുഹൃതോ ജഗതസ്തഥാപി സംസേവയാ സുരതരോരിവദേ പ്രസാദ സേവാനുരൂപമുദയോ ന പരാവരത്വം.
പ്രഹ്ലാദ സെയിങ് ടു നരസിംഹം ദാറ്റ് ആസ് ഫാർ ആസ് നരസിംഹമൂർത്തി ഈസ് കൺസേൺഡ് ഹി ഡസൻ്റ് ഹാവ് എനി ഡിഫറൻസ് ഹി ഈസ് എ ഡീമൻ ഓർ ഹി ഈസ് എ ഡിവോട്ടി ഓർ ഹി ഈസ് എ ബ്രാഹ്മണ ഓർ ഹി ഈസ് എ ക്ഷത്രിയ ഓർ ഈസ് എ വൈശ്യ ഓർ ഈസ് എ ശൂദ്ര. ദീസ് ഡിഫറൻസ് ഈസ് ഇൻ പ്രഹ്ലാദസ് മൈൻഡ്. But as well, because that is what Prahlada said, that isn't it? Prahlada said that I am a demon, I am born in the demonic race, and you showed this compassion to me. But now Prahlada is saying that I know that for you there is no difference. Veda Buddhi is not there in Narasimham. Narasimham doesn't think that he is a Brahmana, he is a Kshatriya, or he is a devotee, or he is a demon. Veda Buddhi is while in this material world, while identifying with this body, isn't it? So whoever executes bhakti to Krishna, Krishna gets pleased. It doesn't matter whether he is a demon or he is a devotee or he is anybody for that matter. So because Krishna says this also in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? As far as Krishna is concerned, he is equal to everybody. Samoham sarvabhudeshu name deshvestina priya. That is the verse. Samoham sarvabhudeshu. I am equal to everybody. Whether you are a demon or you are a devotee, that's all in your mind. Not as far as I am concerned. So, because I deal with everyone on an equal level, whoever executes bhakti, I am dear to him. That's all. Samoham sarvabhudeshu name deshvestina priya. E bhajandidu mam bhaktya maide deshujapyaham. That is the rule. The law is like that. E bhajanti tu mam bhaktiya. Whoever executes bhakti towards me, mai de deshujapyaham. I am also dear to him. Otherwise, I am equal to everybody. But, so, similarly, here, Krishna's point is, Radha is saying this, even though I am a demon, in my estimation, or the estimation of the world, I am a demon, but the fact that I have executed bhakti and the result was that you are pleased with me, and with the result of that is that I have this knowledge of the sasarupam of the self has started flowing to my heart and I realize the truth. There Krishna has no shown any kind of discrimination there. Oh, because you are a demon I cannot give it to you. He didn't show that. He said, Prahlada, you can have that because you have executed bhakti towards me. So, because the reason is, Alma or the soul is present in the demon, present in the devotee, present in the Brahmana, present in the Shudra, present in everybody. Alma is present to, present in everyone. But why he does not know about it? One who wants to know about it and who gives attention to it, or who has Shraddha in that, or who engage in Vicharam, and with Shraddha and Vijaram, he develops that, and in that Dhyana Yogam, if he executes that, whoever progresses in that path, he gets it. That is the way self-realization happens. So whoever is in that situation, in executing bhakti, and who has seriousness about spiritual life, who engage in spiritual activities, eventually he gets it. Krishna is saying, it is not dependent on whether you are a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra, or whether you are a demon or a devotee. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, if there is bhakti in the heart, and if he executes bhakti, he will have it one day. So, so similarly, Krishna's point is, or Prahlada is also mentioning here, that everybody has Antaryami. Krishna is present in everybody's heart as Antaryami, isn't it? But only those people who recognize the presence of Antaryami inside and develop a relationship with him, only he gets it. To him, Krishna reveals that.
Similarly, in the bhakti language, when you say that, it says like this, that Krishna is present to everybody, but if a brahmana does not execute Krishna consciousness, he also won't get it. He also won't get it. Whereas even if he is a dog eater, if he executes bhakti, he will get it. It is independent of your birth, independent of your family background, independent of everything else. Bhakti is totally independent factor. And that is why even if an elephant executes bhakti, elephant will get it. So it is very difficult to say who will get it. Who will get Krishna? And for whom this process will work. That is very difficult to say. We may think of, we are all qualified because we have taken to Krishna consciousness seriously, or we have started chanting, following the principles and chanting the holy name. But suddenly you get to know that somebody else has realized the truth in this world. Is it not? And somebody who goes regularly visiting temples, he may not get it. But somebody who has never been to the temple, he realizes the truth. Realizes the truth. So it is sometimes like that. Sometimes it is like that. People travel thousands of miles to go to a temple, and someone who is living next door to the temple, he won't go to the temple. In this way, people misunderstand things often, that the one who is next to the temple will think, I can always go there, I'm so close to it. I can do it some other time, isn't it? But bhakti is something one has to practice. That is what he's saying here. And here you can see, we have this material body, and we have the mind also. And whereas jnanam, knowledge is, has to happen in the heart, like the way it has happened to Prahlada. Anubhava swarupam it is. Anubhava means in experience it has to happen. So that anubhava swarupam, that means that experience of the self inside us, what we, that means the knowledge of the self that we are experiencing inside us, and when you come to vyavaharam, when it comes to vyavaharam, if that knowledge permeates into vyavaharam, and if you are able to sustain that in vyavaharam, then that is called bhakti. That is called bhakti. What Prahlada is teaching us is the different dimensions of bhakti. What bhakti means. Because bhakti is very much a misunderstood terminology. Often we think bhakti means you are going to the temple, you are chanting the holy name, and you are doing the arati or doing deity worship, or you are doing some other sadhana. You are thinking all that as bhakti. That is only a very small part of bhakti. It's only the sadhana side of it. But when Prahlada is giving us an explanation to bhakti, he's explaining to us, when do you say you are a devotee? When you have all these experiences inside. Prahlada is saying here that shariram or body is there, the mind is there. And while the body is there and while the mind is there, inside the realization is happening. Where does the realization happen? It happens inside the heart, where the self is present. You are becoming aware of the presence of Antaryami inside. That is the jnanam, knowledge. But this awareness, what we have of presence of Krishna inside, Antaryami inside, while we are conducting the vyavaharam in this world, if this awareness permeates into that, and if we don't get disturbed in the vyavaharam, then if you have that power in you, then you can say you have got bhakti. You got bhakti. But we can see ourselves what happens. As soon as we accept that Antaryami is inside, Antaryami is running everything, all that we accept. But as soon as you go into vyavaharam, what happens? Everything goes away. That shows that what? That there is no bhakti in the heart. There is no bhakti in the heart. So, similarly, knowledge is also like that. Bhakti and jnanam is like that. Jnanam is inside. But when you come to Upadhi mandalam means the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, all these things. In Upadhi mandalam, even though in the level of the in level, in the heart, you have this realization that you are not this body, but in the Upadhi Mandalam, body has not left you. It's not. Samsara material existence is still there in you. Upadhi Mandalam. Upadhi Mandalam means the body, mind, intelligence everywhere. You are still very much deeply rooted in the material existence. In the material existence. So then if that material existence, what is present in the body, mind and all that, when it is continuously present there, what we say is, we give an explanation to that. What do we say? It's prarabdham. We say it's prarabdham. What does prarabdham mean? Because you have to understand this word prarabdham also. Prarabdham means, you have not developed sufficient spiritual realization inside. It has not developed. That is why it's called prarabdham. Do you understand that? Then suppose when we experience miseries in this world, generally we identify with the prarabdham. Prarabdham is coming and disturbing us, right? In the form of diseases, separation and other problems of this life, which is whatever that comes. What it means is that this realization, what Krishna has spoken here, Prahlada is talking about, that due to in Upadhi Mandalam means body, mind, intelligence, in that field, you are not come out of the problems. There the material problems of material existence still exist. So if you do not get disturbed by material existence, even in the field of body, mind, intelligence and senses, then generally you can say that you have experienced the same, what you are experiencing inside has come to all the other areas as well. But if it has not happened, you can take it like this. Generally what people will say, that's my prarabdham. But prarabdham means that the knowledge inside or realization inside is not strong enough to destroy the prarabdham. Prarabdham can be destroyed. It's not that, although normally we say prarabdham is never touched by Krishna, which is true. But if self-realization becomes very powerful, then prarabdham is not there. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. Remember? Krishna says, in the fourth chapter, that Jnanam Agni, Sarva Karmanam Basmasad Kurute Arjuna, he says. The fire of knowledge, Sarva Karmanam, that includes prarabdham as well. Including prarabdham, it can burn. But that Agni has to be so powerful. Jnana Agni. 4:37. How does it begin that story? Jnana Agni Sarva Karmanam Basmasad Kurute Arjuna. Jnana Agni Sarva Karmanam. Yeah. Basmasad Kurute Arjuna. That. Edhaidamsi Samidhognir Basmasad Kurute Arjuna. Jnana Agni Sarva Karmani Basmasad Kurute Tatha. For as the blazing fire turns the fuel to ashes, Arjuna, even so the fire of knowledge turns all actions to ashes. So if you ask a question, then prarabdham we say is normally not touched. Because in the Bhagavadam it is saying like that. You remember? Sri Narada Maharshi, first what did he say? Arabdha karma narvanam nepadal panjabhaudhika. Then I had to wait till my prarabdham is over. Remember? First time when Krishna appeared in front of Narada Maharshi, he was a little boy, 5-6 years old. And then Narada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyas this thing, before he writing Srimad Bhagavatam. He says to him that, I had to wait for what? Krishna disappeared. And then Krishna told me that you have to wait in this lifetime, you won't see me anymore. You will see me in the next life. What does that mean? It means I was waiting for my prarabdham to burn. That's called arabdham, arabdha karma. That arabdha karma, to get that arabdha karma finished, Narada Maharshi had to wait for a long time. He has to live through that whole life, one life, one lifetime. He had to live through that. And when the prarabdham was over, he goes and joins Lord Brahma. And in the next life, when Brahma started creation, Narada Maharshi comes out and takes the next body. As that is how when he became Narada Maharshi. Before that, he was the child of the that servant maid son. He was not Narada Maharshi. So Narada Maharshi actually became Narada Maharshi in the next birth, when he has got this veena and he was singing the glories of Krishna. So there you can see he had to live through that prarabdham. Jatabharata, what did he say? I had to live through the prarabdham. Why? I had to live as a, first as Jatabharata, Bharata Maharshi, then he became the deer, that was prarabdham. Because the Maharshi, Jatabharata says here, I had a prarabdham to accept a deer body. Then I had to take birth in the third life, Bharata Yogeshwara, when he got the birth in the family of a Brahmana, as the Brahmana's second wife's son. In that way I had to live my life. And he was waiting, he says, for the prarabdham to finish. So in all these cases, there are many more in the Bhagavatam like this. Vritrasura, another prarabdham story. Chitrakedu's prarabdham is Vritrasura's body. So prarabdham generally will not go. You have to live through that. But Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that even that prarabdham can be burned, provided the knowledge of the self inside is so powerful, then there is no prarabdham. Prarabdham is finished there. That is not important point. Jnana Agni, the knowledge of the self is so powerful that Jnana Agni Sarvakarmanam. Sarvakarmanam means all karmam. Prarabdham, Agamam, Sanchitam. All the three different kinds of karmam, everything gets burned in the fire of knowledge. In the fire of knowledge. So similarly here, you can see that if we are experiencing self-realization, while hearing we are feeling that it all becomes makes sense, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. But as soon as we go to Vyavaharam, no sign of any knowledge. Isn't it? The world takes over. And what happened to all the Bhagavad Gita and the verses in the Bhagavad Gita? That's for the next meeting. What is it? What does it say? What does it mean? So you can see the problem that self-realization is at different levels. When we experience no realization, only while hearing there is some realization, that's one level. But when we go into Vyavaharam, we lose everything. As soon as you come to the bodily level, mental platform of the mind and the body and the intelligence, prarabdham takes over. Prarabdham takes over. But Krishna is saying, if you have such powerful knowledge inside, it is capable even of burning that prarabdham which you are experiencing in this world. That means the knowledge is not sufficient enough inside to burn the prarabdham in us. To burn the prarabdham inside. When it is like that, you have to accept the prarabdham. You have to accept the prarabdham. And so, and when the knowledge inside, if it is able to destroy the prarabdham in a person, if it comes to that level, and that power, that is called bhakti. You have to understand bhakti. Bhakti is a very difficult word to explain even, because you can look at the different aspects of bhakti. When the knowledge inside a person is capable of completely destroying even the prarabdham in a person, then that knowledge is so powerful, and this capacity or that potency of the knowledge in a person, its potency to destroy the prarabdham, then that is called bhakti. So now we have discussed bhakti in different levels, isn't it? Prahladam is explaining bhakti, what bhakti means. So here, and then bhakti is what he is talking about here. So sometimes people ask this question, oh, I am an initiated devotee, I have no karma. You say, no, you have the karma still. When does karma leave? When your knowledge of the self has become so powerful inside, that means your identification with the body, everything has gone to that extent, and the knowledge of the self is so powerful that the knowledge is so capable of burning even that prarabdham, which means that prarabdham is not bothering you anymore. That's what it means. Now what's happening? Prarabdham is bothering us, isn't it? We are suffering from the prarabdham. Prarabdham is affecting us. But in that state, prarabdham won't have any impact on us. Body will go through all the changes what it has to go through, and and it will not touch, affect you, because you are situated in the self completely. That state, that's what he's saying here. So you can see, this bhakti is different than the bhakti what we talk about normally in the world, isn't it? Normally in the world we talk about, oh, he's a great devotee, he's an advanced devotee, he's a junior devotee, he's a senior devotee. We have some foolish concept in our head. Based on this we are making all these statements. Isn't it? Everybody says this. Oh, he's a senior devotee. Somebody says, he's a junior devotee. Who says senior, junior, and on what basis? Because 25 years he was in the movement, therefore he became senior, is it? What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. Bhakti is not measured like that. You got a 40 year service for a pension. Similarly, I've been 40 years a devotee, so I'll get a good pension. Is it like that? No, never. It's never like that. All foolish understanding. And that, one, somebody says, others also repeat that, and that becomes acceptable and becomes the norm. That is never the truth. It's never the truth. So we'll discuss after a few minutes.
एदो दर्पणमर्जनं वोमः नवाग्निनर्वापणं श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिया विदरणं विद्यावधूजीवनं वर्धनं प्रतिपदं पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मास्वपनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नानामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिदानीमिदास्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा मुन्ममाभि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागा तृणारभिषु नीचेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि जनं न सुन्दरीं जगदीशकामयि जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदा भक्तिरहेतु विद्वैनुजकिङ्गरम् अतिदामांशमे भवाम्बुदो कृपयास्तदूलीसदृशं विचिन्तया नयङ्गलदश्रुधारया नङ्गद्गलरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितं कदा बहु भवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति इदं निवेशेन चक्षुषा प्राविशायितं शून्यायितं सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे शिष्यवाहं दर्शनामर्महदां करोतु वा नाथदा वा विरहातुलं वडो अल्पाणनादास्तु दैवनाकरा. So, Kvaham Raja Prabhavam Shatamodhikesmin Jatasureta Ragule Kutavanu Kambaha Na Brahmano Nadu Bhavasya Navai Ramaya Enme Arpida Shirasi Palmagara Prasada Nesha Paravaramadir Bhavato Nanusyal Jendorya Dalma Sukurdo Jagadastathavi संसेवया स्विरदरोरिवदे प्रसाद
Prahlada's point is that when so many great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Mahalakshmi, when they were present there, what made Narasimha Murthy to accept and recognize Prahlada in front of everybody? Is it not? Because what, that's what Narasimha has done. Narasimha says to Prahlada that that Prahlada's studi pleased Narasimha. And you can see here that the these prayers, all other prayers in the last chapter, Gandharvas, Kim Purushas, Yakshas, Charanas, Vaidaliyas, Kinnaras, Brahma, Rudra, Indra, and so many others, all their prayers in the previous chapter. But here, when Prahlada Stuti began, Narasimham accepted it. Accepted in the sense that Prahlada says to Narasimham that Anukamba, Anukamba means that compassion what you have for me is not dependent on where you come from or what your background is. It has no significance. And that is also proven that Samoham Sarvabhudeshu Name Deshvestina Priya. As far as Krishna is concerned, he is equal to everybody. Whether you are a demon or a devotee, it doesn't matter. What we do is, that's another thing. Important point is Krishna's point here, or Narasimha Murthy is saying here, that if bhakti has developed in a heart in a person, then Krishna goes after him. That's the rule. That is more important than anything else. Has he got bhakti, then he, Krishna will accept that person. That's the rule. That's the way it works. So, as we say here, that even prarabdham goes away when that bhakti develops in the heart. Or in other words, jnanam, or the knowledge of the self, when it develops sufficient power within, then it can even create that prarabdham, destroy that prarabdham, then that is called bhakti. That is called bhakti. So this bhakti, what Krishna is talking, or Prahlada is talking about, is called Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam, that is. So he did not, you can notice here, Prahlada did not talk about the bhakti, what we talk about as bhakti normally. Did you see that? Prahlada didn't discuss that at all. That is the most important principle. Generally, what do we say about bhakti? What do we say? As I said before, that we put some stamp on people saying that he is a great devotee, he is this, he is that, and all that. Prahlada's words, there is no such reference to anybody like that. Prahlada is saying, I am a demon, but you have accepted me. Why? I don't know, he says. I don't know why you have accepted me. I am so fallen, this is my nature, full of rajogunam, always in activity, full of anxieties, fully disturbed inside, and kvaham rajaprabhavam isha tamodhi yasmin, he says. My rajogunam tamogunam is inside me, and jataha sureva regule, I was born in the demonic family. So there is nothing credible for me to show it to you, but you have accepted me and put your hand on Krishna. Narasimha did not do this to Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma or Mahalakshmi there. Only to Prahlada. To indicate to us that Narasimha was pleased by Prahlada. Although he was born in the demoniac family. So Prahlada himself says this, that and that my background is like na Brahmano. Natu Bhavasya, not to Brahma, not to Shiva, Navai Ramaya, not even to Mahalakshmi. Yenme Arpida Shirasi Palpagaram Prasada. That you have put that hand on my head, and when that happened, automatically from Prahlada, that knowledge of the self started flowing. Because if somebody, Narasimha Murthy, if he puts hand on somebody, what does that mean? Vijayi Bhava, that he cannot fail in anything. Narasimha is like that, isn't it? So, Narasimha Murthy's blessings completely Prahlada received more than anybody else. So, important thing is, he did not Prahlada did not talk about the bhakti, what we talk about as bhakti in this world. In this world, we talk about people with bhakti. Oh, he chants 100 and 200 rounds every day. Or he does some wonderful things in his sadhana and all that. Based on that, we judge people. And we say that he is a great person, great personality. Or he has written so many books. Or he has built so many ashrams and so many temples. In this way, we talk about people in that way. But Prahlada's statement, if you look, there is no reference to any of those things. But if you look, Prahlada's approach is Nityanubhuta Nijalava Nivrutta Trishnam. Srimad Bhagavatam's definition is like that, bhakti. When Rishabhadeva was talking about bhakti. Remember, if you look into 5th canto, you will see that verse. How bhakti was defined by Sri Shiva Brahmarshi. In the 6th chapter, the last verse, 5, 6, 19. So, there is a different way the rishis talk about bhakti. When the rishis are talking about bhakti, Prahlada is a rishi in that sense, he is a rishi. Because through him, this realized knowledge has come. So therefore, he is saying, here, Shuga Brahmarshi is saying, Nityani Bhuta Nijalava Nivrta Trishna, Shreyasya tad rajanaya chirasupta buddhehi logasya karanaya abhayamalpa logam akhyanamo bhagavate vishabhaya tasmai. Shri Shiva Brahmarshi pays his first time obeisances to the incarnation of Krishna in the Bhagavadam. Is Rishabhadeva. There he is saying this. What is that? Nityanubhutam nijalabham nivrta trishna shreyasya tad rajanaya chirasupta buddhehi. That is that. Nityana lupa nijalaba nivrta trishna. That is Bhagavatam definition. Bhagavatam definition is like that. Bhakti has to be Nityana bhudam. Nityana bhudam. And if it has become Nityana bhudam, and if that bhakti has become nijalabham, only then it is profitable. It is profitable. What that means is, let's understand those two words. If a bhakti is not continuous in us, if it is coming and going, that's not considered bhakti. That's why Shuka Brahmarshi used that word, Nityana Bhuti. It should be there all the time. And if it is like that, it is Nijalabham. It is profitable. It is profitable. Because because bhakti that is coming and going is not considered bhakti. It's not considered bhakti. It's not that, oh, I was feeling very blissful this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning when I chanted my round. Sometimes people say like this. But when I got to office, everything gone. The whole office environment took control of everything. And then my bhakti was gone. And then in the evening when I came back, I was not in a mood to do anything in spiritual life. So I just put on my telly and started watching telly. I was so bored with it. From there you can understand that what that you call as bhakti is not bhakti. In the general world that is all considered to be bhakti. That means you'll say that in the morning I had a very solid sadhana for 3 hours. And say, after that I started working. It didn't bother me anything. That's not bhakti. Real bhakti is nityanubhuti. Nityamayanubhuti. Nitya means it should not leave you. That means even when you are in the vyavaharam, office work and factory work and all means vyavaharam. Even in the vyavaharam, if it's not leaving you, then it is called nityanubhuti. That realization. Nityanubhuti. Nijalabha nivrta trishna. Nijalabha means that Nijalabha means all desires must go from inside for any kind of desires developing. That means it's permanently available, that realization of the self. And because only if you are in contact with that vastu inside, Almana Vindade Viryam, says Shruti. What is that Viryam? Viryam means Almana Vindade Viryam. that when you are conducting your vyavaharam outside in this world, if these things comes back again in my mind, oh, he's a good man, he's a bad person, he's my friend, he's my enemy. If that kinds of thoughts are coming inside me, that means ragadvesham is building up, kartrutva bhoktrutvam is coming back. And in order that all these things has to go, that pratyabhijna, what you had inside in your spurti, what Mujugunda says also the same thing, that that means inside antaryami experience you had, when you heard Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, that spurti which you have experienced in your, which is called as pratyabhijna. The word, technical words for this in the Bhagavatam is this. Spurti, that is, which is inside, you are experiencing it, that is called pratyabhijna. If that pratyabhijna, if it permeates into the field of the mind and the field of intelligence, and it should remove this problem, what you are having when you come to vyavaharam. Only then you can say that you are established in bhakti, otherwise not. Just because you had some blissful experience in the morning, sometimes people say, I had in my dream, some dream I saw this deity or that deity, or I spoke to Prabhupada, told me in the dream this and that and all that. That's okay, that's fine. But that does not mean you have developed bhakti in the heart. Bhakti hasn't come. Bhakti's proof is this, that specifically to Srimad Bhagavatam is saying this, that whatever you have experienced through pratyabhijna, pratyabhijna means that spurti. Spurti means that one second, split second, when you heard Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, you felt inside your identification with the self. That you are free from the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. And you felt the experience of the soul, even for a split second. If that realization, if that comes down to the platform of the mind, body, intelligence and everywhere, even while you are conducting vyavaharam in this world, and if it remains in the same state in all this time, then you can say you have bhakti. Otherwise not. Is that clear? That, you see, bhakti is not so such a simple thing as we make of it. We tell everybody bhakti is such a simple thing. It's not so difficult to say. Don't go after jnanam, don't go after karmam, yogam and all that. Bhakti is much easier, simpler. All you have to do is to chant, dance and be happy. Isn't it? We made it simple for everybody. But Prahlada doesn't say like that. Prahlada is saying that if in your vyavaharam level, that means that is the testing place, the test bed for our spiritual life is vyavaharam. In vyavaharam, if it is happening, that this pratyabhijna or the spurti of experience of the self inside, if you are not losing it in vyavaharam, and that realization is permeating into the mind and the body, and it controls the mind and the body and not allow the experience or miseries of the material world or the problems of the vyavaharam, then you can say bhakti has taken root inside. Otherwise not. Otherwise not. So therefore, actually what it has to do is that realization has to permeate into the mind and the intelligence, and it has to remove that poison there. There is poison there inside vyavaharam, isn't it? What is that poison? Poison is this, that in vyavaharam, obviously what will happen is ragam dvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutva. These four things. Remember in the definition of the Bhagavad Gita itself, what does world mean? World means these four things. World is not all the bricks and the roads and the tanks and the aeroplanes and all that. That is not the world. Actual world is whatever impact the world has on you, that is the world. The impact is this, ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Four things. Kartrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, attachment and aversion. This is the impact of this universe or massive creation in us. So that is what is called the world. So, and that is the poison. And when that viryam means this realization inside what we have, if it has got that power to remove these four things, ragadvesham and kartrutva bhoktrutvam, if it acts like that, it is not Vyavaharam anymore. It is not called Vyavaharam anymore. We call it as Vyavaharam because we develop these four things. Therefore, it's called Vyavaharam. So, when it is not developing these four things, Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, Jagadvesham, then it is not called Vyavaharam anymore. It is a spiritual activity. Spiritual activity. So that jnanam or knowledge, that will only happen when Krishna mentions there, what did he say? Jnana agni sarva karmanam basma sad gurude arjuna. Isn't it? Jnanam, the fire of knowledge of the self is so powerful, agni, the fire is burning so well inside, it turns everything into ashes, including the prarabdham. Only in that state, that it is called parabhakti. It is called bhakti at that time. And that bhakti is what Prahlada is talking about. And how to practice that bhakti? To practice that bhakti, Krishna is saying, Prahlada says here, from morning to night, while you are in the vacant state, whatever you are seeing, whatever you are hearing, all the five senses, whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you smell, whatever you taste, whatever you touch, in all of this, experience of Krishna has to come. Krishna's presence in all those things. And it has to come to that level. And everybody has to do that in their own way. How that happens, whatever it has to happen. So, whichever way you do it, that's up to the individual. Because some people, all the five senses are active all the time. Some people, some senses are active sometime. And different senses in different levels. But whichever way one does practice that, ultimately this satisfaction has to come from inside, which is shanti or alma anandam or blissful nature of the soul. It has to come, and that is why this bhakti is different. What Prahlada is talking about is different. For example, In time is in front of us. All of us has got time in front of us, isn't it? But how to fill that time, that is in our hands. Time everybody has. But how to fill that time, that is in our hands. So, for example, you say, oh, I've been chanting the holy name, I'm getting bored now. I've chanted enough. If you say like that, it should be possible for us to chant the holy name perpetually, without stopping. Only if that happens, you can say that you are able to engage your hearing and process. Chanting and hearing, the two things, become perfect. That perpetually you are able to chant. And while chanting, it has to memory the remembrance of Krishna in different ways, and through Srimad Bhagavatam, it has to develop inside. And it was at that time that that you are seeing there, that when that remembrance which is happening inside, if it becomes continuous without any stop, in some way if it happens, then that is referred to as parabhakti. That is referred to as parabhakti. Because you can see here that people ask this question, what is the best time for chanting? Or what is the best time for spiritual life? There is no best time, all time. Spiritual life is for all time. But then we say morning hours is better. That's because we are weak. That is why we say morning time is better. But you can't say the time is bad in the evening time. Including sleeping time, Krishna is saying you should be like a yogi, even while sleeping. So as far as Krishna is concerned, no time is bad for spiritual life. All time is good for spiritual life. But because of we are weak, and therefore we say morning is much better than in the afternoon or in the evening. So whichever way, if that bhakti develops in the heart, and if we don't forget Krishna by whichever way, then that is what Krishna is saying here. That if little by little, if it goes inside, which one? That spurti or pratyabhijna inside, if it starts slowly permeating into the mind and to the intelligence, and it starts taking control of the vyavaharam stage also, then then you can say that bhakti is developing. And that is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Shanai Shanai Uparamet. Remember that verse in the 6th chapter? Shanai Shanai Uparamet. You may ask this question, why Krishna is saying slowly, slowly? Actually, you should be saying faster, faster, isn't it? But instead, Krishna is saying to us, wait a minute, he says slow, slow down, he says. Yeah, 625, yeah. Shanai Shanai Uparamet, he says. So, Uparamam has to be Shanai Shanai. Shanai Shanai means slowly, slowly. Because Krishna knows it won't happen. It won't happen overnight. Or it won't happen in a day. That's why he's saying that. Shanai Shanai Uparamet. Buddhi Grahya Matindriyam. Isn't it? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Shanai Shanai Uparamet. Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya. Atma samstam manakrutva na kinjit abhichindayet. That's what. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. That's the way it is. And Krishna knows that it won't happen in one day or one month or 1 year. It's a gradual process which has to go on forever. When that will happen? Shanai Shanai Uparamet. We like that Shanai Shanai. Because it suits our nature. Isn't it? Shanai Shanai Uparamet. Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya. Alma Samstam Anakratva Na Kinchit Abhichindaya. So you can see that situated should be fixed on the self alone. Antaryami alone. That's what he's saying. And should think of nothing else. Except Antaryami, there is nothing else. So, that is the proof of that. That is what he is saying here also. That, buddhya dhritigrihitaya. That, so, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is talking about, it is in the Dhyana Yogam chapter. That chapter is Dhyana Yogam. So, this Dhyana Yogam, when it comes to Vyavaharam, that even in the Vyavaharam level, you should not lose it, what you have got. For example, see, Dhyana Yogam do not misunderstand with the Yogam that is being taught in the yoga schools. Bhagavad Gita has nothing to do with that. That is, they have set it up as a business, they are doing that. That's different. What Dhyanam actually Krishna means is, Dhyanam means this absorption in the self. That is Dhyanam. Absorption in the self, Dhyanam. So that dhyanam, because you can see from the verse itself, Shanai Shanai Uparamet Buddhi Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya. Buddhi Dhriti. Two things. Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya. So that is dhyanam. Krishna is concerned, dhyanam is that. So that dhyanam means absorption, meditation and absorption in that. When it comes to Vyavaharam, little by little, that experience or the spurti or the pratyabhijna, you don't lose it even in the vyavahara, that state. You don't lose that even in the vyavahara, that state. So, if you continue like that, what will happen is Krishna says that one day this vyavaharam won't be there anymore. Today we are calling it as vyavaharam, isn't it? But at a certain stage, when this Shanai Shanai Uparamet Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya, when that happens, you won't have any more activities which you can call as Vyavaharam. There is no more Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam will go away. So, how does that go? Because all the impressions inside us, in the form of vasanas, they will go. They will go. All the impressions go. Because normally, if you have worked in a different offices in your life, when you retire, even after 15 years or 20 years, because you have worked and associated with them in the offices and in your early life, they will all be inside you. They will come back to you in your dreams, in some form. And you will be surprised. Things you have forgotten for many, many years after retiring
how they have come back in the dream. And that you can experience yourself when you come to that. I experience, therefore I can tell you very openly, it does happen. There's nothing you can do about it. 40 years ago you worked with somebody, somewhere far away, and you never think about them. You never think about them because it was only few years you worked with them in some place together. But something has happened there that they stayed inside. And now in the dream they come back. Even though you didn't put any effort on your own to remember them, but they had come back. Every Namarupam in this world is like that. Family members, social contacts, particularly office work. Because you spend a long time there, 8 to 10 hours in an office for 40, 50 years, that's enough to carry enough Namarupam inside. They will all come back one after the other. And you will be surprised to see, how did they come in the dream? You never thought about them, but they had come. So what does that show? That they are there inside. They are there inside. So that is why that Buddha, Krishna is saying here that this almane vindade viryam, that means this shanai shanai ubaramit, if we built up that Krishna consciousness inside, in some due course of time, now it is need not be, suppose somebody is not worked whole life, that doesn't mean that there is no Namarupam. He will have other Namarupams in his memory. Family members or some things what has affected in his life, they are all there inside him. And they will come out in the dream. So, Krishna's point is that, so, any experiences in the material world, whatever that may be, material experiences in this world, all of them, whichever that has hurt you or that has created an image or a form inside you, that will always be there in you. It will never go. It will never go. Whatever experiences you had in this life, in the material life, in this world, which has hurt you or which has created some image or form inside you, that will be lying there inside you, ready to come out any time. So therefore, in order that to go, and because it is there, that is why you have ragadvesham and also happiness and distress. Because of that, you experience the happiness and distress and ragadvesham. But if you execute bhakti, Krishna's point is that is what Prahlada is saying here. If you execute bhakti, and bhakti grows in a person to that extent, to such levels, Nityanubhuda Nijalava Nivurta Trishna. You see that verse, what Srishor Brahmarshi is saying there. Nityanubhudi, it has to become permanent inside first. Anubhudi has to become nityam, permanent inside. Nijalava Trishna, all the desires has to be taken out from inside. It has to go. All desires goes away, experience of the Andaryami becomes permanent inside. Then, Shreyasyata Drajanaya Chira Supta Buddhehe. Then, in our dream state, Suptamuti means in our dream state, then we don't know this is also a dream state. Vacant state is also referred as dream state. Why? Because in the vacant state we are dreaming. Now we are dreaming with the eyes open. In the night your eyes closed. That's only different. But the dreaming is going on. There's no difference at all. If you are not absorbed in the self, you are dreaming. For example, you are thinking about prasadam now. What's the prasadam? What time is the prasadam? And after the prasadam, when you go home, you are thinking, what I have to do today, rest of the day. Can I have a couple of hours rest? And then after rest, if I go for a walk in the evening. And then I am thinking, whom I am to visit this evening? Who is going to visit or whom I am going to visit? And after, is there any other television program in the evening to watch? And then things like this. Planning. It's just not dreaming. Has it got any reality? No. It's all dreaming. So that is why dream state is, this is what is called Jagrat Sapna. Jagrat Sapna means dreaming but eyes open. Eyes open and dreaming. Eyes closed to dreaming, that's another dream. So whether eyes open or eyes closed, it doesn't matter. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, Shreyasya Drajanaya Chira Supta Buddhehe.
Logasaya karana karanaya bhayam atma logam ajnanamo bhagavate krishabhaya tasmai. Shri Shukla Brahma Sri is glorifying Vrishabhadev, who taught this world this science of what? Nityanubhuta nijalava nivarta trishna. That is the science. You remember when Vrishabhadev was walking away from home, had no desires, he filled the mouth with a stone and he is walking. And the whole world is abusing him. For he has no clothes on the body, he is not even identifying with the body. That's how he is walking. And we have to discuss that. Vrishabhadev's instructions in the Bhagavadam is one topic of itself, like Prahlada Stuti. And when you listen to that, as much as Prahlada has filled his Stuti with knowledge, Vrishabhadev has filled his Stuti with Vairagya. Just like Prahlada has filled his Stuti with knowledge, Vrishabhadev has filled his Stuti glorifications with Vairagya. So here, he is referring to that Rishabhadev's life in this world. Shukla Brahma Sri is paying obeisances to Rishabhadev, who is like him. Like Rishabhadev he is. Shukla Brahma Sri is like Rishabhadev. No clothes on, walking around in this creation, in this universe. Nityanalu. Why Shukla Brahma Sri is so attracted to Rishabhadev? Because that is the personality Shukla Brahma Sri is. Shukla Brahma Sri is so attracted to Rishabhadev. First time in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he pays his obeisances to him. He has not paid obeisances to anybody before. It's the first time he is paying. Akhyan namo bhagavate rishabhaya tasmai. To that Rishabhadev, my obeisances, and he fell flat on the ground. Seeing Rishabhadev's position, unique position. So, Rishabhadev, if you read there, you can see how he was wandering around. You see what he says here? That if you look into that sixth chapter, the same chapter, 19th verse is about his state of his awareness. But prior to that, all the verses he is talking about. Athaiva agila logapalalamobi vilakshaner jada jadavad avadhuda vesha. भाषा चरिते अविलक्षित भगवल प्रभावो योगिनाम सांबराय विधि अनुशिक्षयन स्वकलेबरम जिहासु आल्मन आल्मान असंव्यवहितम अनर्थांतर भावे अन्वीक्षमाना उपरताम अनुवृत्ति उपररामाम तस्य हवा एवं मुक्तलिंगस्य भगवद कृषभस्य योगमाया वासनया देहा इमाम जगदीम अभिमाना आभासेन संक्रममाना कोंग वेंग कुटगान दक्षिण कर्नाटकान देशान यदृच्छयो भगदम कुटगाजलो कुटगाजलोपवनम आस्यकृत अश्म कबल उन्माद इव मुक्तमोदजो असंवीतमेवं विजजचार अथ समीर वेगम विदूत वेणु विकर्षण जादोग्रदावानलम So all these are, and then if you go further down, you'll see here how he was, look at his state. Yena hava, say, yasya kilanu charitam upakarnyam, konga venkata kutakanam, raja arhannamo vashichya, kalavadharmam ulkrishyamane bhavidavyena vimohitaha. Talking about the birth of Jainism. This is Jainism, religion has come like this. After seeing Rishabhadev walking like this, the ruler of that part of Karnataka at that time was a king called Arha. That Arha thought, if I also do like the way Rishabhadev is doing, he set up a new system of religion like that. Walking around naked with a stone in the mouth, biting that artificially. Following this Rishabhadev. And Shukla Brahma Sri says there, what did happen to him? Konga Venga Kutaganam Raja Arhan, Arha was his name, Namo Vashiksha Kalav Adharma Ulkrishyamani. From that, Adharmam has come. Because other people started following him, and a new religion was born with that. Bhavidavyena Vimohidam. Because all this kind of religions, like this problem for Vedic philosophy did not start today.
It's been there since that time. From the time of Buddhism, Buddha started first, and then this Jaina religion came, Jainism, which has spread later. They also taken everything from the Vedic literature, but they won't accept the authority of the Vedic literature. That is the problem. We have nothing against them, but our problem is this. Because it has all been started by individuals, Vedic religion was never started by an individual. It is the Rishis, Parambara, Arsha Parambara. Rishis Parambara, that is Vaidya Samskaram. So here you can see, Ulkrishyamane Bhavidavyena Vimohidaha. What happened to that king, Arham? Then he started Adharmam. Adharmam it is. It is against religious principles. So dharma badam agudo bhayam abhaya kripada pagandam asamanjasam. Pagandam it is. Pagandam means that it is not based on any proper understanding of the truth. Like in the Vedic literature, Rishis have given. Nijamanishayamanda sampravartayishyade. He started that religion and it spread. Jainism spread like that. Yenaha vavakalo manujabasada devamaya vimohidaham. So within yoga, shauja, charitra, vihinam. You see, when Rishabhadev was walking around, he was not cleaning his body. Body was appearing from us, when you look at it, body was fully dirty. It was dirty. Completely soiled, mud everywhere in the body. Hair has grown everywhere. And the stone in the mouth, because he did not want to talk to anybody. So he put the stone inside. So he says, so vidhi niyogam shaujam charitra vihinam deva helananyapa pradhani nija nijecheya grihnanam asnanam achamanam shaujam kesho lunjanadini kalina dharma bahu lenova hatadiyo brahma brahmana yajna purusha loga vidushagaha. He's saying no bathing, asnanam. Achamanam, no cleaning with water, shaujam, no cleaning the body, none of these things. And kesho lunjanadini, grown hair, no shaving, nothing. So looking at all these things, Arhan thought that, this king Arha, he thought that this is, if I do all these things, I'll also become like Rishabhadev. And he started this religion process. So whereas when all these things were happening, Rishabhadev's body has already been pure inside because of the manifestation self. That's why when the Ashtaishwarya Siddhis came, they couldn't do anything to him. And after he left his body, the smell of that body has spread miles and miles all around. Smell from his body. Body has become spiritual. Externally, for those who looked at his body, it looked as though it's very dirty. But actually the body was so pure because of the self-realization. So, seeing all these things, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, Nityanya Bhuda Nijalava Tigurta Krishna, that he is established in that state, Shreyasad Rajanya Chirasupta Buddhi. So, that is what he is talking about here. That this happiness, Nijalaba, Nityani Lubha, Nityanu Bhuda, Nijalaba, Nivurta Trishna, that this, if that happens, then Ragadvesham, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam, all those things will leave. Will leave. So, bhakti, when it is executed, like the way Prahlad is saying here, that means with this understanding, what he has spoken, then at one stage, like in the case of Rishabhadev, he could not engage in bhakti anymore, because he has reached that state. He is not anymore thinking of chanting the holy name, or engage in any kind of sadhana. All that stage is gone for him. So, what happens at that stage? At that stage, because inside everything has changed for him. Inside everything has changed. That means in Bhava Mandalam, change has already happened. He does not have to do it in the external field, in Karma Mandalam. when the change happens in the bhava mandalam, karma mandalam does not require any changes. Karma mandalam is not important anymore. Initially, when we execute bhakti, it all begins with the karma mandalam, isn't it? We don't have it in the bhava mandalam. It's all in the karma mandalam. Karma mandalam means in the field of activity. When karma mandalam at one stage, when it comes to bhava mandalam, at the, some point in time, this karmam in the karma mandalam will drop and it will go away. So, and therefore, bhakti has to develop in the heart. And bhakti samskaram, or bhakti samskaram, the culture of bhakti has to develop, or dhyana samskaram. So, bhakti in Vedantam is self-realization. That is bhakti in Vedantam. In Vedantam, bhakti is self-realization, not all the karma what you do. That's not the one. So, that is why jnanam, you should not think always, oh, jnanam is very dry. That is why actually jnanam, pure jnanam is pure bhakti. Pure jnanam is pure bhakti. And that means it is at that stage you have completely offered yourself to Krishna. In other words, there is nothing exist here except Krishna. And that state is perfect bhakti. To completely come to this realization, nothing exists here except Krishna. That Purna Bhakti, and that is Parabhakti as it is called by Shuga Brahmarshi, and Prahlada is going to talk about that in the next few verses. He's going to talk about that bhakti, what happens there. So prior to that, he's saying to Krishna that you have shown this anukamba to me. This is where Prahlada study becomes more interesting. Up to this point, Prahlada told about various sides of bhakti. Now Prahlada is going to say to Narasimham that what he is going to talk about in the many 4 or 5 verses after this is all Advaita Bhakti, completely in identification with Krishna. Identification with Krishna. So that is why that Parabhakti or Advaita Bhakti or Jnana Bhakti, that is what is spoken in the next few verses. Prior to that, Prahlada says to Krishna that you showed this Anukamba, remember in the 26th verse, Kwaham Raja Prabhavam Ishatamodhike Smin Jada Suredaragule Kwatava Anukambaha. You showed this Anukamba and you pick me up from here, and I can never have a better friend than you. And Prahlada's point is Prasadha. So, because it is like that, what you have done to me, he says, Naisha, in the next verse, Naisha paramaramadir bhavato nanusyal jendor yad alma sukhrudo jagadastatabhi. You are my only friend, he says. You are the only friends. So, jato yad, jendo yadha altma sukhrda, he says. Jendo yadha altma sukhrdo jagadastathabhi. Then, I cannot find another friend better than you. Altma sukhrdo. That, where will I find a better friend than you? For example, you can see that that we are thinking in this world, he is my friend, he is my friend. He will be my good friend of mine, we say. All these things, isn't it? And we are living like that. Somebody is my friend. Somebody is my friend. We keep thinking like that. But Prahlada is saying there is no friend here. I have only one friend. He's saying that's Narasimham. Narasimham is my friend. So, you are always, because why Narasimham is my best friend? When self-realization happened to Prahlada, Prahlada is saying that when he experienced this flow from Narasimha Murthy's blessings, and you start experiencing in the heart, he is saying that you are always with me. You are always a real friend who is always with me, and you come to me at the right time and show me which way to go in life. Prahlada is saying to Narasimha, you have come in my life all the time and always showing me the direction which way to go at the every time when it is necessary. And what that means is that you are coming to me at every time and keep making me aware of me, who I am. Awareness. In other words, that awareness has to happen only through Krishna's grace. It is only Antaryami inside who can make us aware who we are. Is it not? Otherwise, how will it happen? With your own effort, if you try, it will fail. It won't. But as much as you practice, execute bhakti, and when these qualities builds up inside, Antaryami from inside reveals himself to us and show to us. So, therefore he is saying, that is why he is saying there, Sevanarupamudayona paravaratvam. See that? Sevanarupamudayona paravaratvam. It means that you don't have paravaratvam. Paravaratvam means you don't look at anybody, he is big, he is small. Or he is a good person or he is a bad person. You don't look at people like that. You have equal vision to everybody. Samabhava. Sevanarupamudayona paravaratvam. You don't have paravaratvam. Paravaratvam means to look at people, or to say, oh, he is a sannyasi or he is a brahmana, therefore I will offer him everything. The other man is a shudra. He doesn't deserve it. Krishna doesn't discriminate like that. Whom Krishna accepts and whom Krishna rejects is completely dependent on the bhakti. That's what he is saying here. So, therefore he says here, you know that you have that samabhavam, that desha paravaramadir bhavado nanusyal jendor yad atma sukhrudo jagatas tathavi sam sevaya suradareriva te prasadam sevanirupam udayona paravaratam. Prahlada himself is surprised how Narasimha Murthy gave him so much mercy. He could not understand that. That's why Prahlada is saying all these things. Prahlada is saying to Krishna, to Narasimha, there is no need for me to say this, because sometimes among pure devotees like Prahlada, this kind of emotions will come from their heart. This kind of emotions will come from their heart. Prahlada is seeing the world and he is feeling the misery of the people. He is seeing this misery of all of us. And when he sees that, he is feeling compassion for us. And he is saying that, look at these people, they are suffering here in their ignorance. Basically that's what it is. Suffering means ignorance in us. And with that ignorance, they are suffering here. So, that is what Prahlada says in the next verse. Evam janam, that is verse 28. Evam janam nipatidam prabhavahi kube kama vikama manuya prabhadan prasangal krittvatmasan surarshi surarshina bhagavan grihita soham katham nu visraje tava bhutya sevam. Evam janam nipatidam prabhavahi kube kamabhikama maniya prabhadan prasangal kritu almasar sirarshina bhagavan grihida soham katham nu visrajetava vritya sevam. That is the verse. They are saying here that evam janam nibaditam prabhavahi kupe. This taking birth and death, Prahlada says, it's like a deep well. You have fallen into a deep well. That is this taking birth and death. So, when we are born in that well. Think about ourselves, every one of us, we should think this. That what was our situation when we were born? Complete ignorance, isn't it? Complete ignorance. All we knew was this body, nothing else. And from that day onwards, started qua, 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 crying for help. So somehow or the other, Krishna's arrangement, some help came in the form of father, mother, family and all that. And evam janam nibadidam prabhavahi kubem. Is there a deeper well than that in this world to take birth like this? Is that not a proof that you are born in a well? Is that not a proof that you are born in a well in deep darkness, in other words. Born in a deep well means born in darkness. All of us are born in darkness. And it took 60, 70 years to come to some senses. Even then you can't say that you are in full senses yet. But took a long, long time to come to some senses that life is not meant to be wasted in this way. That there is a purpose in life higher than all the other things in this world. Up to this point it was plan making, enjoying and carried on 40, 50 years like this. When already got hit by so many problems, only started looking, thinking about it a little bit seriously. Isn't it? So till we are able to come out of this well, that Prahlada is saying, I can't see anybody who will take me out of this well. This well, where all these things, kubha means well, and only person who can show us a way out from this well is the spiritual master, who is nobody else than Krishna, Krishna's presence, isn't it? So, so many people come to this world, and what's happening here is, look at our own situation, that we got the body, we grew up as a child, and then we got the so-called, we were sent to school. And there, these guys there, who are there in the school, teachers, they themselves are ignorant. They also didn't know to show us the route, which way to go in life. They taught us a lot of things for 15, 20 years wasted there with them. They never told us about spiritual life. They never told us about soul. They taught us all the rubbish, saying to us, you study this, pass this exam, that exam, and then you can get a job, this job, that job. Lot of useless things they taught us. So can you say that they have taken you out of the ignorance? No, they didn't. They also didn't do that. So Prahlada is saying, they are also like me in the same well, who these teachers in the school or college. They are also in the same well. And he is lying there, and he also does not know how to escape from that well. And suppose he is telling me how to escape from here. What does it mean? It means nothing. He himself is suffering inside that well. He is lying there. And he is teaching me so many things in that well, inside the well. But we are both in the same well. So he does not know how to escape from the well. And this well is so big, he is finding it difficult to escape. I am finding it difficult to escape. So, with the result was that I went to that school for some time, Prahlada is saying, and sometimes I worked in that school. But one day, all together, they pulled me out from that well. So they were asking me, how did you fall? One day, it so happened that in this well, I am not able to escape, but somebody has pulled me out. People are saying that they were asking me, how did you fall into this well? He said, I was trying to jump over the well, but while jumping over, I fell into the well. Fell into the well. And all my body got fractured, all the bones got broken, everything. So, after about 6 months or so, I got fixed everything. I got my body is all fixed. This we are talking about in a funny way about this self-realization. I'll explain that later. A man tried to cross a well, and he was trying to jump over the well. One well was there. He looked at the well and saw it's not so big. I can cross over that, jump over it. In the process of jumping, he fell into the well. So some other people came and pulled me out from the well. And they asked me, how did you fall into the well? So I told them that I tried to jump over the well. I thought I could jump over. And I jumped over that well. And then they took me to the hospital. I had a lot of fracture. And bones were broken. And this about, they fixed everything. Everything was corrected. And I got my normal health back. After 6 months, again I fell into the same well. I fell into the same well. So they asked me, how did you happen the second time? So I told them, first time I jumped from this side to the other side. This time I jumped from the other side to this side, thinking that I'll be able to jump over from the other side. So we are laughing, but actually is that not what we are doing in this world? What we are doing is the same thing. Today we are trying this. And if this doesn't work, we go and try something else on the other side, if that will work or not. So in this way, the whole life is nothing but this game playing. What, trying one this thing here is not working. Then go and try something else, that's not working. So this is the same story here. Jumping into the well from one side to the other, and from the other side to this side to that side, in this way. So again and again, we are trying to jump over this well. That is what that word means. Prabhavahi kupe. The word is there. Evam janam nibaditam prabhavahi kupe. Kamabhi kamamaniya prabhayan prasangad. That prabhavahi kupa means this. That in our life what we do, jumping from one side to another side, that side to this side, in this thinking that I will be able to do it. But I am not able to do it. What happens? We get fallen into the well. Every time we fall into the well, we fracture. And we suffer here. And then somebody else comes and pulls us out. And then when fixes it, and we come back and jump again. And again fall. So that is why he is saying here, that whatever you may do here, that it is not working. Evam janam nipaditam prabhavahi kupe. That we don't know how to come out of this well, and we are also not ready to come out. That's the interesting side of that. So there it is spoken, because our attachment to these things are like that. Attachment to life is so subtle that we can't understand this, what Prahlad is saying. We can't even understand that. Jokingly we say sometimes that a Brahmana, for example, who has good training, Acharam, good means, Acharam means that he had good practices in his daily life. One day it so happened that he by mistake fell into a well. He fell into a well. So when he fell into a well, some people noticed that he has fallen into the well. So they wanted to get him out from the well. Well is deep. There's water in the well. And probably up to his waist or neck or whatever. And he's lying in the water inside the well. So some people thought, we have to get him out. How to get him out? They brought basket-like thing with a rope. And they put it down to the well through the pulley. And you can, they told him to get into that basket, and we will pull the rope, and you can come to the top and escape from here. So they did that to him. So so he says to them that because he was very attached to his purity and to his way of life, he says, those who are pulling that rope, are they Brahmanas? Only then I will come out, he said. Otherwise I won't come. Because his attachment to Acharam is gone to that extent that he put this condition. So similarly, we have fallen into this well, and we are suffering here in different ways. Lot of miseries, lot of distresses, lot of problems here. But in between, somebody is coming and telling us some solutions to the problems, some technique. Somebody comes and tells us some technique. But that technique also is not in a position to get us out from here. So, and we use these techniques, what has been given to us, and we try to escape from here. But then what happens? We don't come out. We don't come out, again we fall back into the well again. Again fall back into the well. What Prahlada is saying here is that till you take to this process of surrender, Sharanagati to Krishna, and surrender to Narasimham, totally, there is no escape route from here. All other processes, all other methods, what has been spoken, will not work. Prahlada is saying like that. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Not tomorrow, next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.